coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery.
MPG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Chris Mavridis. Back in March, the U.S. military raided a house in Iraq, believing it was an insurgent hideout.
They called in an AC-130 gunship, and that fired on the house. The troops on the ground kept firing on the house. When resistance ended, they went into the house and they found civilians in there, but they also found at least one insurgent.
The Iraqis say 11 civilians were killed in that raid, including women and children. Today, CBS's David Martin says the military cleared those soldiers involved, saying the use of force was appropriate. Over at Fort Meade, an army dog handler was sentenced for abusing prisoners at Abu Ghraib. He gets 90 days. Hard labor.
The pictures of dogs and detainees were some of the most disturbing displays to come out of Abu Ghraib, but this particular dog handler was in effect excused after his lawyers argued strenuously that Cardona was an excellent soldier, working in a chaotic prison environment under confusing policies that encouraged the use of dogs against detainees. CBS News military consultant and former Army Colonel Jeff McCausland.
He had been an outstanding non-commissioned officer, as I understand it, had been recognized for heroism in saving a couple of his buddies' lives, and I'm sure all those matters were brought to bear in the final determination of this sentence.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Fort Meade, Maryland.
Depending on how you look at it, it was either a good day or a bad day on the jobs front. Ask economist David Weiss, and he'll tell you.
This data suggests that the economy is slowing down even faster than we thought.
All right, David, why do you say that?
Overall, just not a lot of good news here for the consumer. Payrolls were up just very little. Average hourly earnings were essentially flat. The only good news is the unemployment rate dropped another one-tenth.
And there is the good news. Unemployment hasn't been this low in almost 5 years. The government says it fell to 4.6% last month. Planning a weekend trip to the car dealership to buy a brand new Nissan? If you're looking to get yourself into a 2006 Altima or Sentra SER, you're going nowhere. Nissan has ordered dealers to stop selling all four-cylinder models because the engine might catch fire.
It is very rare for a manufacturer to stop sale of a vehicle. It has only happened a handful of times in the past, and to Nissan's credit, it did what it should have done because this is a serious fire hazard in these vehicles.
Clarence Ditlow is with the Center for Auto Safety. So when there's trouble like this, doesn't it usually mean a recall?
Nissan hasn't announced an official safety recall yet, but that's only a matter of time.
Time is ticking for Iran and the White House. Iran says it wants to build a nuclear power infrastructure. The White House doesn't buy it, thinks Iran's up to no good. So do five other nations who want to squish Iran's nuclear ambitions. Today, Iran's president said the West cannot deprive his country of nuclear technology. On Wall Street, the Dow ended the week on a down note, falling about 12.5 points. This is CBS News.
Get the good stuff!
Want to protect your engine from extreme situations like, say, really high gas prices? Get Mobil 1 Full Synthetic Motor Oil. It can make a difference in improving your gas mileage and extending the life of your engine. And now, Mobil 1 Full Synthetic Motor Oil is just $4.99 a quart at your nearest Napa Auto Parts store. Hey, protecting your engine and your wallet has never been easier. Prices not include state and local taxes and recycling fees. Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff!
All right, everybody knows that safety belts save lives. Blah, blah, blah. We've been hearing that for years. I'm just letting you know that your safety belt can save you a whole lot of hassle, too. Because from coast to coast, cops are cracking down. They've got this enforcement effort. Click it or ticket. Pretty simple. You buckle up or you get a ticket. Consider this a friendly warning, because guess what? Cops won't be giving warnings. Remember, click it or ticket. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation.
A Learjet belonging to TV evangelist Pat Robertson has gone down in heavy fog near New York City. It crashed in Long Island Sound. Two dead, three are hurt. Robertson was not on the plane. Say, kids, like the rock and roll? So what's your favorite album? Something by the Beatles, you say? Even the Brits say that's so yesterday.
Move over, John, Paul, George, and Ringo. Although Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band has topped previous greatest ever lists, the 40,000 music lovers who voted this time around put it second to this, the 1994 Definitely Maybe by Oasis. One consolation for the Fab Four, the new Guinness Book of British Hit Singles and Albums has them in second and third place. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
And I'm Chris Mavridis, CBS News.
Get the good stuff.
Want to protect your engine from extreme situations like, say, really high gas prices? Get Mobil 1 Full Synthetic Motor Oil. It can make a difference in improving your gas mileage and extending the life of your engine. And now, Mobil 1 Full Synthetic Motor Oil is just $4.99 a quart at your nearest Napa Auto Parts store. Hey, protecting your engine and your wallet has never been easier. Price does not include state and local taxes and recycling fees. Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff!
The wait is over. The all-new season of The Simple Life is coming to E! With a super-sized premiere. This Sunday at 10, 9 Central, Paris and Nicole are back, and it's going to be one heck of a homecoming.
Your mom is going to kill you.
But I didn't make a mess, you did.
Yeah, but I'm going to blame it on you.
The American Family.
I clean up around the house, I shave his nipples, I tattooed him and your daughter.
If it ain't broke, break it.
I learned from getting a full-time nanny.
The Simple Life, all-new season, all-new home. Super-sized premiere this Sunday at 10, 9 Central on E!
Peter B. Collins. Well, that's my cue to turn on the microphone and start talking. Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. We originate on the left coast and we are oozing inland. We're live on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, and
Freedom.
We are live on KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. Our program is heard in the nighttime on 1240 Talk City, KSAC in Sacramento. And in the nighttime, too, in Phoenix, Arizona on 1480 KPHX. We got a power lineup for you today. Coming up in about a half an hour, former Alaska Senator Mike Gravel will join us, a Democrat who's thrown his hat into the ring for the presidential nomination in 2008. And he's got a neat idea for a national initiative, a referendum policy to get past the gridlock in Congress. Also on today's program, Sacramento Bee blogger and columnist Dan Weintraub will join us. We'll get his take on Tuesday's primary, including the dead heat between Wesley and Angelides. Also on today's program, Winslow T. Wheeler, a former Senate staffer who decries the way the Democrats really match the Republicans, particularly on defense spending. That's what we'll talk about in our second hour. And Brad Friedman on the hook for a whole hour today from bradblog.com. He keeps us straight on election practices, electronic voting, and those issues. He'll be talking about Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s powerful and lengthy piece in the new issue of Rolling Stone, which details the stolen vote in Ohio in 2004. Not news in these circles, but welcome new voice on a critical issue. That's all ahead here on the PBC show, and you can call me toll-free at 1-888-579-2540, or you can call in here on the Central Coast. It's a local call at 831-899-5792. My website is peterbcollins.com, where you can get linked up to archive programs, podcasting, all that kind of stuff, the live stream, and you can also find email addresses like peter@peterbcollins.com. And feel free to communicate with me any way you like, but I do prefer the phone calls that really make a talk radio show work well. Joining us this half hour is a contender for John Doolittle's seat. That is the 4th Congressional District in Northern California from Sacramento North. Lisa Ray joins us on the program this afternoon. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Peter. Great
I opened
to be
the
here.
Program with music by Chris Ray, and he spells his name the same way you do, R-E-A.
Ah, very
and
good.
And that's important because some people hear Ray and they automatically think R-A-Y.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So how's it going up there? You got just a few days left before the primary on Tuesday.
Yes, it's been very good. Actually, I just got back from Oroville, and this district is so big. It's 9 counties, and I've been all over it over the last year. And there's a lot of excitement because I think people are ready to get rid of John Doolittle.
Well, it certainly has heated up for Doolittle. He has weathered it so far. He hasn't been indicted, but he is being investigated for his links to Jack Abramoff. His wife worked for Jack Abramoff. His wife takes a 15% commission on all the contributions to his political campaign. Apparently not illegal, but certainly doesn't pass my smell test.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, I put out a statement saying, if elected, I take the pledge I won't hire my spouse.
You promise?
I promise. I won't do that. And I do think it crosses a line of ethics, and I think that's why we have to hold him accountable during the election in November.
And the numbers are astounding because Doolittle has raised over $1 million. A lot of that is PAC money that comes from the same crony group that benefited from the K Street Project, from Tom DeLay's very aggressive assault on ethics, in my opinion. And at $1 million, a 15% commission is $150,000.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That's almost as much as his congressional salary.
That's right. Nobody can compete with that. I mean, that's a political machine. And $1 million before Dick Cheney came to town to raise more money for John Doolittle.
Yeah. So what are the issues that voters are talking to you about? Don't let me try to set an agenda for you. What is the voters' agenda in District 4 this year, Lisa
Well,
Ray?
You know, I've been out there meeting voters all over the district, and I was in Nevada County yesterday and then, in Oroville, Butte County just now, and people are talking about health care and the fact that it's killing them. They can't afford it, or they're uninsured, or they are worried about getting dropped off a health care plan, and they're very afraid of the cost and that they might go bankrupt trying to keep health care insurance, and it's a crisis. And that is a number one issue for me. That's a day-to-day issue that Congress right now is ignoring, and John Doolittle has never paid attention to the day-to-day needs of this district. But that is a huge issue, and I support universal health care. I think we need to go back to the drawing table and really craft something nationally that works for this country. And I'm endorsed by State Senator Sheila Keel, one of the first of 16 legislators to endorse me, and I was so pleased with that because she's a champion of universal health care,
mm-hmm.
and we need to make that a priority, especially in the Democratic Party.
Well, and I believe, to put it in terms that Republicans might embrace, that universal health care is the bailout that Detroit and other manufacturing centers in this country genuinely need right now. And, you know, we saw in the 1980s, we sent a couple of $1 billion to bail out the Chrysler Corporation in Detroit. And as the big three automakers are on their knees these days, we know that health care costs add, what, $1,500 per vehicle to the cost of manufacturing. And if we were to nationalize that expense, then our automakers would be much more competitive with the Japanese and European automakers.
Yeah, it's just astounding. And, the cost to the country and to individuals and also to small businesses. Small businesses can't purchase health care for their employees, even if they want to do it, which they usually do. They just can't afford it. And we got to go back to the drawing table. And, you know, Hillary Clinton took this issue up in the 90s, and we got to revisit it and have everybody at the table, the stakeholders, and craft something that works. And it's something that hits everyone. It's not just a Democratic issue. It's across the party lines, Democrats, Republicans, Greens, decline to state. Everyone is hit by this crisis, and it's got to be a priority, and it is for me. I used to work for the American Heart Association, and I also at one time worked for the hospital industry in Southern California, working for 220 hospitals and a trade association. And, you know, it's just such a huge issue, and it hurts everyone, and we've got to have answers.
Well, I know you, and I know your work at the Heart Association, and you had to take on the tobacco industry, which is still very powerful and manages to pump money into campaigns in California through its beer divisions and other nefarious methods.
That's right.
But, Lisa Ray, what would you do to fix the Medicare prescription drug process?
Yes, well, the Medicare prescription drug law is a mess. I mean, that law should not have passed. That bill should not have passed, and it hurts seniors. That's an issue on my campaign platform, senior care, and how we honor our parents, or do we in this country? And I don't believe we do. I don't think a bill like that would ever have passed if we did. And so I think we need to reform that piece of legislation, that law, because right now, if seniors did not sign up by May 15th, they'll be penalized. And it shouldn't be that way in America. I mean, it just shows that we disrespect seniors, and so we've got to change that law.
Well, Well, and two clear improvements I would propose, and tell me if you agree. One is that we need to remove that clause that says that the government can't negotiate on price in buying bulk from the big pharmaceutical companies. That's just ridiculous.
Absolutely. Somebody's making a lot of money. That's all we know. You know, and also that you can't purchase from Canada.
Mm-hmm.
I have a mother who is a stroke survivor, and the cost of her prescriptions are extremely high, like they are for most Americans. We've got to do better, and it's got to be competitive. You're absolutely right. And, you know, I have the experience. This is what makes me different in this primary. I've written legislation. I've worked in the Capitol for three members, for Senator Bill Lockyer when he was in the Senate, Assemblywoman Lucy Clay from San Diego, and Senator Gary K. Hart from Santa Barbara. I've been there. I've written legislation. I've worked across party lines to craft solutions to problems. And that makes me different in this Democratic primary.
Mm-hmm. The other point in the pharmaceutical bill, the Medicare prescription benefit, is this donut. Because it is so unfair to the people who need this coverage the most that they just start to get going, and in some cases it's only a couple of weeks of very expensive drugs, before the coverage disappears until it maxes out, what, at $5,000, and then it kicks back in.
Right, it's crazy. And, you know, nobody, I don't see anyone taking that role as leaders on Capitol Hill and really saying this is a priority, and it's got to be. It's got to be. And I think that's what I'm hearing the most during this race, during this campaign, is that people are frustrated with parties. And whether you're a Democrat or Republican or Green Party member, declined to state, people said, you know, I don't see the difference. And I think they're absolutely right. We need courage and guts, and we need people to do the right thing on Capitol Hill and to also come up with cutting-edge solutions that are forward-thinking. Mm-hmm. And that's what my career has been about over the last 25 years.
And, Lisa, what about corruption? Do your voters talk to you about John Doolittle's ties to Jack Abramoff and to the Republican power machine?
Yeah, they do. They've read the stories, and they're deeply concerned. I mean, he's been saying, I did nothing wrong. I've done nothing wrong. But at the same time, but the hiring of his wife, that was kind of the last straw, I think, is hearing that his wife had been hired to fundraise for his campaign and getting a 15% cut. And that wasn't a problem with him. And he says there's nothing illegal about it. Well, it might not be illegal, John, but it's something that most of us would not do. And when you're somebody who's representing a district in Congress, then to me, there's a standard. We should have high standards for those in Congress. They should be, you know, living up to a higher standard. And we don't look at our members that way. I think the public says, well, they're all dirty, they're all corrupt. No, that's not true. And that's why I decided to run, because I believe in moral values, and values translate into ethics. You have to do the right thing. And so people are talking about corruption.
We're going to take a quick break and return with Lisa Ray, R-E-A, her website, rayforcongress.com. Just a few days remaining till the primary, and she's competitive in District 4. We'll talk about the difference between her and her Democratic opponents as we return in just a moment. And if you have a question or comment, join us right now, Central Coast, 831-899-5792, or toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, montereylimos.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
This week on Rock Roller Real Estate, meet the producer of an exciting new TV show, The Investor Showcase, seen on Comcast 26. John Brown, the producer, is also the president and CEO of Brown Developments. Learn about wholesale properties, fixer-uppers, pre-construction, redevelopment projects, fractional ownership programs, and land investment. That's this week on Rock Roller Real Estate, heard every Sunday morning at 10, right here on this station and all over Northern California. Also, listen online at rockrollerrealestate.com.
No matter where you are in Monterey County, you deserve to be in a safe environment. Robert Owen, who is running for Monterey County Sheriff, has concern about the recent serious injuries sustained by inmates within the Monterey County Jail. Robert Owen is a dedicated, long-term employee of the Monterey County Sheriff's Department. Robert Owen has worked as a jail sergeant for over 26 years and has 31 years of service as a Monterey County Sheriff. Robert Owen is concerned about the retention of deputies in the Monterey County Sheriff's Department. Robert Owen is so concerned that he is running for Monterey County Sheriff and personally financing his campaign. He will not be obligated to any special interest groups.
This is Robert Owen, and I am asking for your vote for Monterey County Sheriff on June 6th.
Your vote matters. On June 6th, please vote Robert Owen, Monterey County Sheriff.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Got the Peter B. Collins Show pouring out of your speakers. Thank you for making that selection. I'm your humble host, Peter B. And lines are open if you'd like to talk with me and my guest, Lisa Ray, Democratic candidate for Congress in District 4. 831-899-5792 or toll free 1-888-579-2540. Coming up in about 10 minutes, former Senator Mike Gravel of Alaska will be joining us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lisa Ray, I wanted to ask you a little bit about some interesting developments over the last year or two. Rabbi Michael Lerner has written a book called The Right Hand of God. A good friend of mine, a pastor from Oklahoma City, has written a book called Why the Christian Right is Wrong. And you participated with Rabbi Lerner and Jim Wallace and others in a conference recently in Washington for progressives who embrace spirituality. It's a broad way of describing it. Yeah. What went on there, and how do you connect progressive politics with your own spiritual center?
Yes, well, it was a wonderful experience to be there. I was invited by Rabbi Lerner and Tikkun to speak, and I was speaking about what is it like to run for Congress as a Democrat and a person of faith, which I am. Been a Democrat all my life, and I'm a person of faith. That's not an oxymoron. And that's what, I think that's what this movement's about, is how is it that the Republican Party could get away with, especially in 2004, the idea that moral values was something that only Republicans had, and that there were, that God apparently registered, and he didn't tell anybody, but he registered, and he's a Republican.
Well, and that those moral values are based around divisive issues.
That's exactly
like opposition
right.
to same-sex marriage.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, I think it was a scheme of Karl Rove.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this movement's about, is to say, no, wait a minute, let's talk about what moral values are and how you translate that into public policy. And what that translates into is you are peacemakers, and we wouldn't be in Iraq if we had taken every means possible to avoid it, and we went in because we were told there were weapons of mass destruction and there weren't.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, whether it's the war, health care, putting seniors first in a way that's compassionate and allows them to have a quality of life, and being a good steward of the environment, which John Doolittle and others like him on Capitol Hill use that issue of being someone who cares about the environment, and you're called an environmental wacko. Well, you can't get away with that anymore, and that's what this movement's all about.
Mm-hmm. And, Lisa, how do you reconcile public policies like a woman's right to choose and others that relate to the separation of church and state with your own personal faith?
Well, you know, I am a person of faith, and I talk about Jimmy Carter. I'm a Jimmy Carter Democrat. And I'm proud to say that because I think he represents the best of the party. And he's a person of faith. But he understands and is committed to, as am I, the separation of church and state. We have to have that in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Everyone has a choice. You don't have, you know, any faith stuffed down your throat and said, you have to believe this. You know, no, this is America. But, you know, the people, all of us who are spiritual, or people of faith, or, you know, however you want to use that phrase.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we care about changing America and having America reflect the values that we hold dear. And but I think Jimmy Carter really represents the best of the party and somebody who is a person of faith. But he gets it.
Mm-hmm.
He understands how to keep that line separate. And that's important to me. On the issue of choice, I'm endorsed by the National Women's Political Caucus. But, you know, I think we want government out of our health care decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so critical in this country. And I know women believe that. But also, we want to get past some of these issues, and we want to start building new coalitions and taking on tough issues. You know, is it possible to drive down abortion rates and increase adoption rates?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do we make sure there are fewer teenage pregnancies? Now, that's how people want to talk. And, you know, when the Republican Party uses those hot-button issues to win elections or keep Republicans in and conservatives, then that's, you know, that's how they're taking, you know, the issue of faith and using mm-hmm. it to their advantage.
Talk about how you're different from your two opponents in the Democratic primary. I mean, for one, you're the only woman running. For number two, I believe you're the only lifelong Democrat. The other two are recent converts to the Democratic Party.
Yeah, very recent. In fact, there are two other Democrats, two male Democrats on the ballot, and one was a Republican until 2 years ago, and the other was a Republican until 7 years ago, and I've always been committed to the Democratic Party, and, you know, and it's not the party, it's the values of the party that I'm committed to, but I think that says something, and I think there's a lot of dissatisfaction out there with the party system. But, you know, I want to improve it, and I think I reflect a new voice that's different. I have a diversity of experience legislatively, having worked in the legislature, but also working in the area of restorative justice.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the head of a national nonprofit that supports restorative justice, and I work with victims of violent crime nationally, and I've worked in that field for 12 years. I'm different, and we need a new voice. We need women leaders who want to change things and build new coalitions and start changing America for the better.
Let's take a quick call. Dave in Humboldt, you're on with Lisa Ray.
Hey, Lisa, whenever I hear a good candidate, and I think you're one of them, I really like to find out how much are you aware of the GOP election fraud, how dangerous these voting machines are.
Oh, yes.
What would you like to do about it if you're aware?
Right, absolutely. Well, you know, I think people like Deborah Bowen, running for Secretary of State, is interested in making sure that we have clean elections.
She really gets it,
counts.
Lisa. Deborah Bowen really gets the issue, and I don't think Senator Ortiz does.
Well, yeah, I don't know Senator Ortiz. I haven't heard her speak that much, but I've heard Senator Bowen, And, you know, we can't have fraud in our elections. I mean, we're worried about fraud in the elections in Iraq, but how about here at home?
Yeah, the Ukraine, too. Lisa, we're out of time. I want to wish you the best on Tuesday. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Peter.
Lisa Ray, go to the website, REA, rayforcongress.com. Coming up next, retired Senator Mike Gravel, candidate for president in 2008. He'll join us here next.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
The Del Monte Cafe features authentic American food carefully prepared at very reasonable prices. Hungry for delicious omelets, pancakes, sandwiches, and pasta dishes? Come visit us for breakfast and lunch at the Del Monte Cafe, located at 1642 Del Monte Boulevard in Seaside. We're open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday from 7:30 to 2 p.m. For takeout orders, call us at 394-7851. That's 394-7851, the Del Monte Cafe, 1642 Del Monte Boulevard, Seaside.
There are radio talk shows about sports, politics, money, sex, and religion. Now there's a talk show for parents and everyone else who cares for and about children. It's Childhood Matters, every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540. I'm the host, Rona Renner, the mother of four, a new grandmother, a nurse, and parent educator. Listen and call in Childhood Matters every Sunday from 9 to 10 here on KRXA 540.
Tom Hartman.
And over the last 3 days, the new conservative talking points that have been going out are blame it on Bill Clinton.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
The high gas prices, we got to shift the blame to the Democrats, say it's all because he didn't let them drill in Anwar. The real reason is because for almost 20 years now, the Republicans have prevented him from raising CAFE standards, the corporate average fuel efficiency standards. Average fuel efficiency of a car right now is back where it was in the 70s.
Tom Hartman, weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, rolling on this beautiful Friday afternoon. Coming up next hour, we take a look at Tuesday's California primary with Dan Weintraub of the Sacramento Bee.
Searching for light in the darkness of insanity.
Joining us on the program is a senior citizen who served with distinction in the United States Senate. For some reason, he loves the music we play here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Mike Gravel, former senator from Alaska, Democrat, joins us. Hello, Senator.
Hi, Peter. Thank you for having me on.
Do you have an iPod, Senator?
Yes, I do.
Really?
My gracious, I have it. I use it for books. I don't use it for music. I like music, but it's mostly for books. And I just finished 1776, and I'm putting on a couple of others.
Uh-huh.
And so it. And now I'm going to be starting to use it because a lot of programs that can be iPodded, particularly conferences and things like that,
mm-hmm.
it's a good way to stay informed.
Well, and just for your information, if you go to peterbcollins.com, you can link up with the White Rose Society, which holds our archives and provides podcasting opportunities so you can catch up on our show.
Oh, great. You call it the White Rose Society?
Yeah, but just go to peterbcollins.com. That's the simple way to get there. And White Rose is a group that handles our archives. Fine folks with a lot of other progressive programs available there, too. Senator, during our conversation today, I want to touch on the National Initiative for Democracy that we've talked about before. But prior to that, I wanted to get your take on a couple of news articles in the paper today. One relates to your home state of Alaska and a follow-up squeeze on Exxon, now ExxonMobil, resulting from the damage of the Valdez oil spill. And there was a deal in place that either the state of Alaska or the feds could go back to Exxon and ask for up to $100 million on top of the $900 million that they settled for a few years back. And yesterday they announced that they're going to nudge them for $92 million. Do you believe that this will ultimately clean up all of the damage from that incredible spill?
Probably not. Some of this stuff is just impossible to change it, and so it just goes into the ecosystem, and you suffer the long-term consequences, ecological consequences. But it certainly will go a long way to go after certain difficult areas that should be cleaned up additionally.
Mm-hmm. And do you feel that Exxon has been a responsible party in terms of accepting its liabilities here?
Under duress,
uh-huh.
That's the only way they've accepted their responsibilities. You know, when we built the Alaska Pipeline, it was my amendment, and I had a provision in there to have double-bottom tankers and to have the tankers controlled onshore by radar, just like we do at airports. Well, they opposed both of those events, and, of course, had they been in place, we would not have had this disaster.
Well, shouldn't there also be a two-drink maximum for the skipper?
It'd be no drink maximum, Peter. No drink.
Well, I like to have a drink or two myself, Senator. But
not when you're on duty. You're not sipping a martini right now. I know that.
No, I'm not. It would be a California Pinot. But no, I unlike Rush Limbaugh, I've never done a program on OxyContin. I've never actually had OxyContin. I fear that it would bring out some weird conservatism in me, so I avoid it at all costs.
From what I know about you, you got none there.
Yeah, okay. Senator Mike Gravel with us. The other thing I wanted to ask you about is an interesting piece by Adam Nagorny in today's New York Times, and he basically makes the case that we have seen over the past election cycles great difficulty for people who want to come out of the United States Senate and run for the presidency. And it's because they voted on too damn many pieces of legislation, and that produces targets, that we saw applied to John Kerry, for example. They voted for the $87 billion, then he voted against it. Well, governors come into the national arena without any national baggage to speak of. And so it is that the handicappers believe that governors have an easier shot of getting the attention of the American people and broadening their base, even though senators and governors essentially have the same electoral record where they have won on a statewide basis, not in a district or a larger region.
Adam is a very perceptive reporter and analyst, but I don't know. It used to be conventional wisdom that governors had a better edge, not so much because of the legislative record that they don't have. They have other records, but it's because they're executives and they're used to making decisions. And so a legislative temperament is certainly different than an executive temperament. But it certainly was no liability for Jack Kennedy, and it's no liability for me right now. You know, I have no problems living with people that want to go back to my record and haul it up 30 years later, and a lot of it is still relevant because I can say, okay, I'm telling you this is the way I believe, but if you doubt that, just go back and see the way I voted in the past. So I don't think that's relevant. The other thing that's important is governors literally have no foreign policy experience. No, true, they go on foreign policy kind of well, they're not. They're development kind of junkets where they'll go to various countries and try to entice these people to come and make investments in their particular states.
Right.
And that's fine. You know, they can do that. But that doesn't give you any broad spectrum of foreign policy.
Mm-hmm.
You get foreign policy by, one, living it, reading it, and studying it. And as governors, they're pretty busy, and so they don't always have the opportunity to do that. A senator, of course, has to do that as part of his job, regardless if he serves on the Foreign Relations Committee or not, because what you vote on are obviously national matters, but global matters when it comes to treaties and when it comes to appropriations.
Mm-hmm. So did Bill Richardson talk to Adam Nagorny and get him to write this? He's not mentioned in the article, but he kind of fits
Or Mark Warner, you know, of
right. Virginia.
And so, but by the same token, I just think it's not an appreciable edge. What really is going to determine what an edge is or not, and I think self-servingly it plays in my direction, is that a lot of these guys are out there sniffing around, deciding whether they want to run or not. Well, what they're doing is they're trying to determine if they can raise the big bucks to do it. So the primary consideration is money. Well, that's something that I disagree with. The primary consideration has to be, do you have ideas? Do you have solutions? Do you have something you want to present to the people and see if it resonates with them? Well, I filed without any money. And I'll go nowhere unless the people, one, contribute to my campaign, and they'll contribute if they resonate with the fact that I'm trying to empower them as lawmakers.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only answer. I've lost my confidence in government solving problems. They're just not going to be able to do it. There's too much at stake. And so I would say that here, you take almost any presidential candidate, you've got two things you look at. One is, they're not really saying very much, and when they do say something, they're just nibbling at the edges, at the margins of issues, because they know that if they were to get elected president, they can't make a meaningful change, because whatever they want has to go through the Congress. And we know that Congress isn't going to pass universal single-payer health care. We know that Congress isn't going to pass serious reform, tax reform, or Social Security reform. We know that. And we know that when it comes to war, that the Congress is supine before the imperial presidency and defers to him, and they're just like the executive, keeping everything secret from the American people.
You're right on target there, Senator. And next hour,
that. And I'll tell you, Peter, it's tragic because the Supreme Court case in Gravel versus the U.S. government in 1972 ruled that a senator or a member of Congress can release any secret information that he deems is necessary for the American people to be able to make a decision on policy. Now, they ruled 5-4 in my favor that I could do it within the confines of the Senate, and the other four were for my being able to release that information anywhere as a senator that I choose. Now, why is it that members of Congress can't do the same thing, but they're all playing the same silly little game? Is I've got a secret and I can't tell you, but that's okay. Let's send your children overseas and get them killed, or let's kill a whole bunch of other people in other countries. This is very, very tragic, and that is the beginning of the slippery slope that will see the end of our democracy.
Very well put, Senator. That's a powerful statement. I appreciate it. Let me ask you about this. I am one of those people who believes that success for the Democratic Party requires it to reexamine its position, in particular its relationship with average Americans. And in my view, the party needs to move a little bit, not a whole lot, but a little bit to the left. And I want to see more progressive policies like you just articulated about single-payer health care. I want to see a progressive position on privacy and government secrecy. And I want to see Democrats stand up and fight for that instead of people like Senator Feinstein here in California offering to paper over the obvious lawbreaking of the Bush administration in the NSA scandals. She wants to fix it legislatively, and I want Senator Feingold's censure resolution to go forward and hold these people accountable.
I couldn't agree more, and it's even worse than that. She, with Podesta, with the new Democratic think tank that's out there, they're talking about, we ought to get out of Iraq by the end of 07. Well, supposing your kid is killed in the next 6 months, and you know the war is going to end in 07, or you're going to get out of Iraq in 07. I mean, that's horrible. That's horrible. That's the kind of thinking we had during the Vietnam era, where everybody is parsing how many angels can be on the head of a pin, let's get out now, let's get out later. It just goes on and on. It's very tragic. They're locked into, and here I think you're a little too optimistic on what the Democrats can do unless they make a fundamental change, and I am proposing one, and I'm doing that. I just did that up in New Hampshire, and I'm going to do that very frequently into various organizations, Democratic parties across the country, and that is very simple. You want the people to be for your party, okay? Well, what you ought to do is be for the people. And how can you be for the people is you can turn around and fix it so they're lawmakers, and then they will be partners with the elected people who are part of your party. And then when you talk of a progressive agenda to see effective, the people will do a much better job than the Congress at bringing about a very, very progressive agenda. And so that's why our hallmark is let the people decide. But the details of that are somewhat complex, and people roll their eyes when you start giving it to them. But essentially, the procedures of the national initiative are no different than the procedures of the Congress, and then will provide the people to be able to make laws in every government jurisdiction of the United States, unlike the 24 states, California being one of them, where what they do is they qualify an amendment, and everybody throws money at it, and you hope for the best. Well, that is not a way to legislate deliberatively or intelligently, but that is the way we're stuck until we can get something new in place, which would be the national initiative.
And we'll talk about that as we return with Senator Mike Gravel. We'll go to the phones, too, if you have a question or comment. Join us now at 831-899-5792. That's a local call on the Central Coast. Or call me toll-free, 1-888-579-2540, anywhere coast to coast, 888-579-2540. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show.
I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you personalities and interesting topics from the world of food, wine, and travel. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, restaurateurs, famous chefs, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored by the Monterey Salinas Transit's Grapevine Express. The Grapevine Express runs weekends from the Aquarium to Carmel Valley. For more information, call toll-free 888-678-2781 or visit the web at mst.org.
Tom Hartman.
When Thomas Jefferson wrote Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Happiness into the Declaration of Independence in 1776, it was the first time in the history of the world that the word happiness had been used in the founding document of any so-called civilized nation.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
And Ronald Reagan was the guy who began to take it apart. He was the perfect frontman for really what was fundamentally a vicious idea.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
If you missed the show, then you missed Hal's outstanding career advice.
You know, Coach, there's some vacancies in Baghdad right now for some correspondence.
Oh.
We can always send you out there.
Feel the Love. Weekday mornings, 9 to 10, the show on KRXA 540 AM. Down in
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, friends.
We got a president so bad, gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job 'cause of his dad, now we're all in danger. He come around up to no good, broke the old treaties 'cause he could. Struts all around like a hood, got us in a world of trouble. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout. We'll all feel better in the morning.
Yeah, we got ourselves a bad president, and here's a man, one of our elders, ready to try to help us out a little bit. Senator Mike Gravel, comfortably retired, former senator from Alaska, a Democrat, is willing to take on a rather monumental task of running for president in 2008. And he is framing it around a powerful idea, the National Initiative for Democracy. Here in California, we're very familiar with initiatives on the ballot. There are two of them next Tuesday in the primary. And this is a way to try to bypass the gridlock in Washington, where special interests have been able to lock down members of both parties and prevent meaningful and, importantly, progressive legislation from passing. And if you go to the website ni4d.us, that's the letters N and I, the number 4 and the letter D, National Initiative for Democracy, .us, then you can get complete information, also a link to Mike Gravel's website as well. And, Senator, give us an idea of how much momentum you've built. We've spoken about this three times now over the last 6 weeks or so, and I'm curious if other people are as crazy about this as I am.
Well, let me tell you that in the last 45 days, we've got more visibility for the national initiative than we have in the last 15 years. And it's all because of the celebrity nature or the way people in the media view running for president. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that was the reason why I decided to run for president. It wasn't my idea. Somebody suggested it to me, and it took me a little while to figure it out that this is a good tactic to do it. And so now it's going to be up to the people in two regards. One, will the people vote for the national initiative? And incidentally, you gave one website, but there's another one. They can just put nationalinitiativeoneworld.us, and that gets to them. And if they want to go to my website, which is Gravel, www.gravel08.us, and I hope they will, they can contribute to the national initiative. And that's a tax-deductible contribution because it's a C3, that's an educational organization, and they could go to my website, and we're desperate for money, and they don't, whether it's $5, $10, anything mm-hmm. helps, and that, of course, will permit us to continue to expand the communication of this because the nature of it requires repetition. That's how we all learn. So when I tell you that what this is a process to permit, to let the people decide on all of the policy issues that affect their lives. Now, the details of how that happens are pretty intricate, and therefore, the people roll their eyes. They don't want to know the details. They just want to know, will this work? And it will. but it will not come into being unless the people themselves vote for it.
You need the endorsement of Paris Hilton and that guy who just won American Idol. That'll get people's attention.
Wait, Peter, you just brought up something. American Idol. Do you realize that there were 63 million votes for the guy who just won it?
Right.
Do you realize that that is probably 10 million more votes than we need to have the American people enact a national initiative? And then we would be changing thereby the paradigm of human governance?
Well, then, Senator, let's put aside this presidential ambition. Can you sing?
No, I can't. That's the problem. But I'm asking people to just give 5 minutes of your time. Give the same amount of money that you would spend on a latte to either campaign. Because they're parallel. In one, we're educating the people about the and they're not only educating, we're asking them to vote. We need 60 million votes to enact a national initiative. That's how we get around the Congress. The people do it directly, and it's legal, and it will be lasting.
Let's go to Steve and Selena. Steve, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Senator Gravel.
Good afternoon. Thanks. I've got a thought on national health care. I think the easiest thing to do would be to make everybody eligible for Medicare. So all the money that the insurance companies that goes to insurance companies goes to Medicare. And if there's a lack, then tax the stuff that causes health problems. You know, candy bars and French fries and potato chips and cigarettes and alcohol. And every penny from that goes into health care.
Steve, it's been a year or two, but I received a statistic that I believed at the time, and it's probably increased in its amount. But I believe that the health insurance industry in this country spends $400 billion a year on paperwork. And if we had a single-payer plan in this country, much of that cost could be saved. And that's just one category of expenditures in our health care system that
Peter, it's more than 30% of the cost of health care goes to that. We in the world we get the least amount of bang for our buck. All of the other industrial nations get more health care for less money. And, of course, what it is this young man has put his finger on it, we're subsidizing the insurance industry, and we don't need to do that. Health is not something that people should make a profit on.
Well, Senator, as this shapes up, I wanted to ask you if you're going to be coming to the Take Back America conference. It's going to be in Washington starting on the 12th of June, because I'm going on the road. We're going to take the show to Washington. And I'd like to invite you to come there, even if the organizers haven't already thought of it, because you ought to be there with the other progressive voices working to energize voters around important issues this year.
Peter, I haven't been invited, one. And two, I would be happy to accept your invitation to meet you there in the flesh, and we could do a little broadcasting.
Absolutely. Well, let's plan on it for the 12th of June. And
when we finish
in a minute, I'll ask Matt, my producer, to work with you. And we're going to be on from 6 to 9 local time in Washington in the evening, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. But
okay.
I'd love to meet you personally, and I'd also like to introduce you to some of the other progressive radio people from Air America and other independent syndicated or local programs, because I'd like to boost your chances of getting good coverage, and this is a good way to start it.
Peter, you can't believe you're doing the Lord's work here.
Well, she smiles on me every now and then. The Lord does.
But he's not. Well, but you don't have the same contact that George Bush has. The Lord tells him. I don't know about what Lord or what God he's talking about. But the God I know is the God of love, not the God that tells people to go to war and kill.
Amen.
But, Peter,
Senator, we're out of time on this visit, but I'll look forward to seeing you in Washington around the 12th or 13th, and you'll get to talk to our listeners again then. And feel free to get in touch with us whenever news breaks or there's something else that you want to talk to our listeners about, because I love hearing what you've got to say.
Peter, look forward to meeting you in the flesh.
All right, sir. That's Senator Mike Gravel, retired Democrat from Alaska, candidate for president. Go visit the website. I think the easiest one is ni4d.us. ni4d.us, and find out more about his national initiative proposal. Coming up next, we'll handicap Tuesday's primary with Dan Weintraub, columnist and blogger from the Sacramento Bee.
Hello. Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. A report on one incident of civilian killing in Iraq.
Pentagon officials say it exonerated the U.S. troops of any wrongdoing.
Waiting for an answer from Iran.
The international community needs to know if Iran intends to negotiate seriously.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Three times in Iraq, American forces have been accused of deliberately killing unarmed civilians. Today, in one of those cases, military investigators found no wrongdoing. CBS News correspondent David Martin reports it involved a raid on a suspected al-Qaeda hideout in March.
Although there were civilians killed, the investigation found that the killing was not deliberate and that the use of force against that house was appropriate to the threat they were receiving. I doubt whether any of that will assuage the anger of the Iraqis who lost their families and members of their family and friends.
Seven Marines and a sailor are in the brig at Camp Pendleton, California, while authorities consider charges in the death of an Iraqi man in April. Reportedly, he was dragged from his house west of Baghdad and shot. And the military continues to investigate the killings of two dozen Iraqis in Haditha last November. An Army dog handler, Sergeant Santos Cardona, was sentenced today for his role at the Abu Ghraib prisoner abuse case. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato was there.
After saying prayers, Cardona headed into court, stood ramrod straight at attention, and was put at ease by a sentence that spares him prison time and a discharge. 90 days hard labor, extra duties, basically, reduced to specialist, forfeit some pay. His military lawyer, Captain Kirsten Mayer, cried. Still, this scandal leaves a tarnish on the nation and Cardona, described by one former commander as an excellent soldier. CBS News military consultant Jeff McCausland, a retired Army colonel.
Kind of a court-martial conviction on his record certainly means his chances for a military career are pretty bleak.
And this conviction means Cardona won't be handling military dogs anymore. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Fort Meade, Maryland.
Now this.
For me, buying a home is more than the number of bedrooms and bathrooms.
Can't imagine making a purchase like that without having someone you can trust.
Somebody with integrity protecting you.
Ethics are crucial.
Honesty and dependability.
I can't call myself a realtor unless I complete ethics training.
Realtors adhere to a strict code of ethics, so you know you'll be treated honestly. Ask if your agent is a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
They live and work by a code of ethics, and that was really important to me.
Michelin presents A Michelin Manifesto.
The Michelin Man is encouraging drivers to hang up the phone and bring some concentration to the driver's seat. Michelin Pilot Performance Sport tires help deliver race-inspired grip and handling on both wet and dry pavement, so you'll have the confidence and uncompromising performance to focus in on achieving blacktop bliss. See your Michelin dealer or MichelinMan.com.
Michelin, a better way forward. He hasn't said yes, and he hasn't said no. Today, in his first public comment since six world powers put a nuclear deal on the table, Iran's President Ahmadinejad vowed the West would not deprive his country of nuclear technology. But that doesn't necessarily mean he'd refuse to stop enriching uranium. Secretary of State Rice wants to wait and see.
I hope that the Iranian government will take a little time to think about the proposal that is being presented to it. This is a way out of the impasse if Iran indeed wants a way out of the impasse.
The White House says Ahmadinejad is just staking out his negotiating positions.
In the White House Rose Garden, President Bush had a rosy assessment of this morning's Labor Department report. It shows the unemployment rate falling to 4.6%.
American economy has now had a job for 33 months in a row. Has created more than 5.3 million new jobs.
But the number of jobs added in May was an anemic 75,000, suggesting an economic slowdown. CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason.
The jobs numbers showed us that retailers cut about 27,000 jobs last month. That's telling us that people aren't spending as much money in stores because they're paying higher gas prices. Therefore, retailers are saying, you know, I'm not going to hire as many people. It's starting to filter through the economy.
The price of crude oil rose above $72 a barrel today. The Dow lost 12 points to finish the week at 11,247. Analysts see one positive sign in the new employment report. It might discourage the Fed from raising interest rates again. Representatives of law enforcement and the internet communications industry met today to discuss more cooperation. The Justice Department wants internet service providers to preserve customer records to help the government investigate child pornography and track down terrorists. Officials have said they might ask Congress to mandate record keeping if the industry balks. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
The wait is over. The all-new season of The Simple Life is coming to E! With a super-sized premiere. This Sunday at 10, 9 Central, Paris and Nicole are back, and it's going to be one heck of a homecoming.
Your mom is going to kill you.
But I didn't make a mess, you did.
Yeah, but I'm going to blame it on you.
The American Family.
I clean up around the house, I shaved his nipples, I tattooed him and your daughter.
If it ain't broke, break it.
I learned from getting a full-time nanny.
The Simple Life, all-new season, all-new home. Super-sized premiere this Sunday at 10, 9 Central on E!
Get the good stuff.
Even with today's modern engines, an oil change every 3 months or 3,000 miles is still the most important maintenance you can do. And right now at Napa Auto Parts, you can get Valvoline conventional motor oil for just $1.99 per quart. Plus, you can get a sweatshirt featuring characters from the Disney Pixar movie Cars, free by mail, with any case purchase of Valvoline motor oil. Price does not include state and local taxes or recycling fees. Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Peter B. Collins Show continues by popular demand, and because no law enforcement agency has been able to stop us yet. I am your humble host, Peter B., and Tuesday is primary election day in California.
People moving out, people moving in, why? Because of the color of the skin.
Run, 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 but you sure can't hide.
Yes, vote for me and I'll set you free. Oh, there are all kinds of promises flying around out there, and I can't believe how many checks I've gotten from Steve Wesley, the state controller, in the last couple of weeks alone. Dan Weintraub joins us from the Sacramento Bee, where he's a political columnist and the keeper of a blog called the California Insider. Hello, Dan.
Hey, how are you doing?
Not too bad. Have you gotten any extra checks from Wesley recently?
I got a nice one a few weeks ago, as a matter of fact. My tax refund with his name on the outside of the envelope. I really appreciated it.
Well, they enhanced my tax refund. I asked for X, and they gave me X plus.
Oh, they went back and did a double check at it, huh?
And then last week, I got a check from Steve Wesley for $20.80. I'm not sure what it's for.
You mean on top of the tax refund?
Right. And no notice attached.
Maybe that's why we have a deficit.
Well, it was not drawn on his personal account. It was state taxpayer funds.
Huh. Very interesting.
Yeah, I figured out. It's probably, you know, something left over from somewhere. At any rate, we have a very unusual situation here 3 days before the primary, because the polls show a dead heat between Wesley and Angelides.
How about that? We actually don't know who's going to win in a political election. Isn't that fantastic?
It is unusual. And this is the highest level of undecideds, I think, in the field poll history since the Republican primary, where people couldn't figure out Bill Simon and that gang.
Well, it's higher even than that. It's the highest in at least 30 years.
Yeah?
26% undecided. Another 5% say they're voting for someone who's on the ballot, but not Wesley or Angelides. So really 31% not voting for the two major candidates at this point.
And is that 5% a pure cameo vote or just a protest, I don't care, I don't know? And
it's not broken down. It just says others.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So what do you attribute this to, Dan? We want to know.
The conventional wisdom is that the voters are sort of disgusted with both guys and they don't want to choose one or the other. But there's really no way to know whether, you know, it's just a tough choice. It could be that people are looking at them and they just can't make up their minds because Angelides offers one thing, which is sort of a very aggressive, in-your-face liberalism that's going to attack Schwarzenegger head-on and has attacked him from day one. And Wesley offers a sort of kinder, gentler, slightly more centrist, democratic platform and a not as kind of personally aggressive campaigning style.
Mm-hmm. If Wesley wins, I'm going to get him a large can of WD-40.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Up his joints.
Yeah. The debate that he did in San Francisco has been about 3 weeks now with Angelides. Was remarkable in that Wesley was so wooden, I thought he had escaped from Madame Tussauds or something.
He sounds like a guy who went to campaign school, went to school to learn how to speak like a politician.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but he didn't quite, it's not natural for him. So instead of sounding like a politician might sound, he sounds like someone who's trying to sound like a politician, which is, as you said, I don't think it's so much wooden as it sounds phony.
And yeah.
Everything I know about the guy and everything I've heard about him is that he is a genuine fellow.
Yeah, I've met him. I've met him and had a conversation with him.
Sounds phony.
he can be very, very good in a casual setting, easy to talk to, you know, good with chit-chat. In radio interviews that I've done with him, he gets a little stiffer, but not nearly as stiff as he appeared on television.
Right. I mean, but he's not stiff in the way Gray Davis was, and Davis was just genuinely stiff. This guy just seems like he's trying too hard.
Yeah, Davis had the kind of Nixon stiffness, didn't he?
Yeah.
That I'm not comfortable with people and
exactly.
I'm trying to hide it.
Yeah, and but Wesley is almost like he's like a car salesman who's sort of putting on an act. You don't feel like you're listening to the real thing when he's speaking.
Yeah.
He moves his hand in such a way that looks like somebody told him, you've got to move your hand this way while you're speaking. And
yeah.
He throws people's names into the conversation in kind of unnatural ways, Peter, like that.
Mm-hmm.
And everything, it's like his MBA training on how to be a business leader. He's applying it to how to be a political leader, but it just doesn't seem natural.
Isn't there a way we could have done this whole thing on eBay?
Just internet voting?
Yeah.
Highest bidder? I think Wesley would have won if it went to the highest bidder with his $35 million that he's spent so far.
Well, you know, there is a very interesting paradox here. That while wealthy Steve Wesley has put $32 million into his own campaign, that turns me off in certain ways. I believe last time I saw only $3 million had been donated by other than Steve Wesley to the Wesley for Governor campaign. Then you have Angelides, who's not as wealthy, but he's wealthier than I am, and he has recently pumped $1.5 million of his own money into a campaign that gets him up to roughly about $15 million. So he's not competitive with Wesley. And then enter the Greeks, Angelo Sakopoulos and his daughter with a few front firefighters.
$8 million from them.
Yeah, they pump in. It's called an independent expenditure, or an IE. And I will be candid here. I'm going to vote for Angelides. Not an easy choice, but I do lean in his direction. But I have to say that this money from Sakopoulos is it makes me uncomfortable. I don't like to see that kind of external influence on a campaign where they pretend that it's being done at arm's length.
Yeah, well, we should explain to your listeners who aren't familiar that Angelo Sakopoulos is a the major real estate developer in the Sacramento region, a Greek American like Angelides, who sort of took Angelides under his wing many years ago, 20 some years ago. When Angelides was working in the legislature and expressed a desire to, A, run for public office someday, and, B, earn a little money before he did so. So he went directly from the legislature to being the chief executive officer of Sakopoulos' company and then went out and started his own company. So it's almost like a father-son relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think that Angelo Sakopoulos is going to twist Phil's arm to sign some bill that's going to help Angelo with the development? Maybe, but you know, I think that would be rare, and it might not even happen.
Well, and because this $8 million wouldn't be necessary for that kind of
right. It could happen without the $8 million.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
and then we have Wesley firing back using the term developer, which is clearly loaded in California politics. And I had a caller on the program yesterday who'd gotten one of those hit pieces in the mail, and it just slammed Angelitas for being a developer.
Right.
And I pointed out that many people loathe developers, but they live in developments.
Exactly. And his latest ad on the Lake Tahoe question is apparently far off the mark from everything we have seen. Angelitas owned essentially for personal use one unit, and he didn't even own all of it. A portion of one unit in a condo complex that was developed by somebody else, and the developer dredged the shoreline in front of the condo and got in trouble with regulators and was sued. And Wesley is trying to make this appear as if Angelitas was personally, you know, defiling Lake Tahoe.
Right, right. Like he was urinating in the lake or something.
Well, he may have done that, but that's not what's in the ad.
Dan Weintraub with us from the Sacramento Bee. Dan, let's play a little game here called Who Mo Snarky. You have an item on your blog today, which is, you know, in true Bob Mulholland style, is some spin. He's pushing back on the Schwarzenegger people. And I have a hard time really figuring out who is more snarky, Bob Mulholland or Gary South. Gary brought us Gray Davis not once but twice.
Right.
And now he is a lead consultant to the Wesley campaign.
I think South might win the snark fest. Mulholland probably meaner,
mm-hmm.
just on a sort of a street, you know, junkyard dog level.
Right.
The Vietnam vet, worked for Tom Hayden, real nuts and bolts and
emphasis on the nuts.
Down and dirty kind of guy.
Gary, I do believe he escaped from the nut tree in Vacaville exactly. sometime in the past.
Gary is a little more cerebral, or maybe a lot more cerebral, very smart,
yeah.
and kind of operates at a higher level, can be snarky, can get off a good line now
right.
and then, and will certainly do anything to win in a campaign, and might run a very similar campaign against Schwarzenegger that Mulholland would.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a slight difference. Gary's got a little bit better sense of humor, a little more sarcastic. Mulholland is drop-dead serious and takes, you know, sort of everything as a matter of personal war almost
right.
in a campaign.
Yeah. And who do you think of those two advisors as having more influence? Mulholland has been aligned with Angelitas since Phil was the state party chair.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember doing interviews with Angelitas, and he'd bring Mulholland along, and it was just like, gosh, you know, can't you leave him in the car next time?
I think that Gary South is probably having more influence because he's a professional at this. Wesley has that business model of delegating authority and hiring good people and letting them, you know, do the thing. Angelitas essentially is running his own campaign. And some people think that's like the old story about a lawyer who represents himself in court having a fool for a client. But Angelitas truly is managing his own campaign. And Mulholland, I think, is more of carrying it out and, you know, maybe offering advice about how best to execute that. But Phil's in charge.
Yeah. Well, if Phil wins, I'll send him a muzzle for Mulholland. We'll take a break and return with Dan Weintraub from the Sacramento Bee. You can read his work at sacbee.com and click on politics and then go to the California Insider. That is his blog that he updates on, a moment-to-moment basis. If you have a question or comment about Tuesday's primary, or if you're one of those undecideds about who to vote for in the Democratic gubernatorial primary, get on the line now. 831-899-5792. Toll free at 1-888-579-2540. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
This week on Rock Roller Real Estate, meet the producer of an exciting new TV show, The Investor Showcase, seen on Comcast 26. John Brown, the producer, is also the president and CEO of Brown Developments. Learn about wholesale properties, fixer-uppers, pre-construction, redevelopment projects, fractional ownership programs, and land investment. That's this week on Rock Roller Real Estate, heard every Sunday morning at 10, right here on this station and all over Northern California. Also, listen online at rockrollerrealestate.com.
Join R.J. Moyer for his weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding, Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540. Sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. KRXA 540 looks at traffic on this Friday afternoon, and over at Metro Traffic, Ken's on duty. Hello, Ken.
Good afternoon. Our traffic report is brought to you by Get the Facts on Chevy Fuel Efficiency. Compare Chevy head-to-head. Go to Edmunds.com. In Morgan Hill, Watsonville Road at Uvis Road, we have an accident. That's off to the right shoulder. Two vehicles involved out there. In Prunedale, northbound 101 before Echo Valley Road, we have a disabled vehicle. It's a stalled big rig that's blocking one of the lanes. Traffic is backing up on Highway 101. The Pacheco Pass, Highway 152 at Dinosaur Point Road, brush fire burning near the roadway. CHP on the scene and fire department making its way out there to help extinguish that. And in Salinas Davis Road between West Ridge Parkway and Auto Central Circle, there's a maintenance work that's going on. That should be finishing up in just a bit as the southbound lanes are closed earlier in a detour effect.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. It's campaign season, getting down to the wire. Tuesday is our primary election day. We're talking with Daniel Weintraub, who is a political columnist and blogger at the Sacramento Bee. And, Dan, one more line of questions here on the governor's race. I saw your link to Bill Cavalla's piece today. Cavalla's been a dean of the political operators in the Democratic Caucus of the Assembly for well over, 25, 30 years?
Right.
And he makes the point that kind of dovetails with the predictions of turnout. We have high levels of registration, but the Secretary of State is predicting kind of average turnout for a primary. And Cavalla takes it a step further and breaks it down into age cells and suggests that of the turnout, it'll be tilting toward older people. And in his opinion, that's going to help Angelides.
Right, the 50 to 64-year-old segment is heavily for Angelides and will likely represent a major chunk of this electorate. So
And they're the kind of folks who vote every time and are not likely to skip this one just because it's not as jazzy as they would like. So if the, you know, the field poll people say they've already taken that all into account. But the theory is that if the turnout is even lower than anybody expects and only the super hardcore Democratic voters end up going to the polls or sending in their ballot, then that will favor Angelides because those are the kinds of voters, liberals, older people who say they favor him.
Mm-hmm. And what about the San Benito effect, Dan?
Funny you should mention that. Again, for your listeners, at the special election last year, I pointed out to the readers of my column that tiny little San Benito County had the best record in the state at predicting election results. And so if you didn't want to stay up real late to see how the whole state was going to vote, just look at San Benito's results and they would tell you which way it was going to go. Turned out to be true. Just a few minutes ago, I checked their record in Democratic primaries. The last real contested Democratic primary for governor we had was in 1998. San Benito County was a little different back then. But just a few thousand voters, and they nailed it again. They had Gray Davis beating Al Checchi and Jane Harman and everybody within about 1 to 1.5% of their final statewide vote. So maybe the San Benito effect even works in Democratic primaries. We will find out Tuesday, and believe me, I plan to check to see how they do.
All right. Well, we should plan to talk next Wednesday then, and we can analyze the San Benito County effect in this year's primary. Down ballot, first of all, some of the district races, congressional challengers. Any potential shifts that you see there? Marcy Winograd?
I think there might be some interesting things like with John Doolittle and Richard Pombo, the Republicans in the Central Valley who have been under a lot of fire.
Full disclosure here, Dan, I'm doing some consulting work for the McCloskey campaign, and I'm hopeful, but I still haven't seen signs that he's reached the tipping point.
Now, I think both those guys are going to win. What I would look for is, you know, do they get nicked a little bit? Does Doolittle come in with only, 60 or 65% of the vote instead of his usual 85 or 90, that kind of thing? But no, the race to watch in Congress is the 50th congressional district, the Duke Cunningham seat. He resigned in disgrace a few months ago. There's a special election to replace him. Former congressman and now lobbyist Brian Bilbray is the Republican candidate, and Francine Busby, who ran last time and lost, is the Democratic candidate. She's been getting a ton of financial and emotional and human support from the Democratic Party nationally. They want to make this a case study and a statement of their ability to take a Republican seat, and it is unmistakably a Republican seat.
Yep.
So if the Democrats win that, it definitely is a shot across the bow of the Republicans for November and will send a chill up the spine of everybody who values a Republican Congress, such as they still exist.
Lieutenant Governor, we've got John Garamendi, the insurance commissioner, and two termed-out state senators, Figueroa and Speer.
Yeah, definitely Garamendi was the favorite going in. He's got great name ID in California. He's been on the ballot forever. University of California graduate, played football there. Jackie Speer, I think, would have had a great chance if only she had run against Garamendi. When Figueroa got in, it kind of diluted the underdog or the challenger vote. But I'm hearing from some private polling that she's making a race of this and that Jackie Speer might actually pull that one out.
Huh. Interesting. Also, there are some theories that female Hispanics get a special 5 to 7 point bump.
That may be the case, but Figueroa has not run a very high-profile campaign. So
she doesn't have much money.
She might be just a spoiler there. I mean, if she ends up with 8 or 10% of the vote and Speer comes within 2 or 3 of Garamendi, there'll be a lot of second-guessing there.
Yeah. Secretary of State, we've got two state senators termed out, both named Deborah, Ortiz versus Bowen.
Yeah, I mean, these are just anybody's guess when you get that far down the ballot. Deborah Ortiz is my local state senator in Sacramento, has made a name for herself a little bit on the stem cell issue. She actually was out front on stem cells before the private guys got going and put their thing on the ballot. But then she had a parting of ways with them because she thought they wrote their initiative as too much of kind of a special interest private government thing, and she's trying to reform the way the Stem Cell Institute now runs. So that's really her claim to fame other than authoring the bill that opened the door for the public employee pension increases that everybody's been hearing so much about.
Dan, we're out of time. Thank you very much for joining us today. One more note. I imagine Jerry Brown has ordered Jacques Berjagi to fire up the Plymouth. We're heading back.
They're ready to go.
We're heading back to Sacramento. Thank you, Dan. Let's talk next week after the election.
Okay.
All right, very good. Coming up next, Winslow T. Wheeler, former Senate staffer, on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Every business has a black and white copier.
Yet color packs more punch, demands more attention, and projects a more powerful image.
The Sharp MX Series Multifunctional Products.
Advanced color document systems that not only copy, print, scan, and fax, but also feature high-quality printing in both color and black and white from the same MFP.
All for a surprisingly low total cost of ownership. And with Sharp's advanced image stabilization and microfine toner technology,
the MX series produces ultra-vivid documents and extraordinary color image quality, page after page.
Sharp's MX series.
Workgroup document systems designed to provide exceptional performance and productivity day after day, in-house for less money.
Tri-County Business Systems, solutions that connect with you since 1981. Located in Salinas at South Main and Acacia Streets. Call 1-800-339-6216. That's 1-800-339-6216.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 AM from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
We're going. Tom Hartman.
And over the last 3 days, the new conservative talking points that have been going out are blame it on Bill Clinton.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
The high gas prices, we got to shift the blame to the Democrats, say it's all because he didn't let them drill in Anwar. The real reason is because for almost 20 years now, the Republicans have prevented him from raising CAFE standards, the corporate average fuel efficiency standards. Average fuel efficiency of a car right now is back where it was in the 70s.
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings, 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichorn, owner of Eichorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show from the Left Coast. Now on in Sacramento and Phoenix, Arizona, and I am pleased Coming up next hour, our weekly visit with Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. We're going to talk about that powerful new article in Rolling Stone by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. about the stolen election in Ohio in 2004. Kill surprise. And just a couple of quick program notes. Usually on Fridays, we visit with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans affairs. He's not available today. I think he's out wine tasting, getting ready for his weekend show on Food and Wine, The Tasty Planet. Got a really nice write-up in the Monterey County Weekly this week. Good for you, Scott. I'll hoist a glass in your direction. And also, we usually have a weekly visit with Assemblyman John Laird, the Democrat from Santa Cruz, just after 5 o'clock on Fridays. But the Assemblyman is tied up in budget hearings that will run well into the evening. So we get a full hour of Brad coming up in just about a half hour from now. Joining me now is Winslow T. Wheeler, and we do honor middle initials here on the Peter B. Collins Show. He's worked on national security issues for more than 30 years as members of Senate and the U.S. General Accounting Office. In the Senate, he worked for very interesting people, Jake Javits of New York, a Republican, Nancy Kassebaum, Republican from Kansas, the Democrat from Arkansas, David Pryor, and Pete Domenici from New Mexico. And he got bounced from the Hill after going public. He did it first under a pseudonym, Spartacus, when he wrote about the weak way that Congress reacted to September 11th. And he is now a senior fellow and director of the Strauss Military Reform Project at the Center for Defense Information. Winslow T., welcome to the Peter B. Show today.
Hi, how are you? Good to be with you.
Nice to talk with you again, sir.
Yes, sir.
I was directed to a piece that was published recently in the Forward, and people can find it online at forward.com, published, it looks like, on May 18th. And it describes, critically, the role of the Democratic Party, what we might call complicity, in the runaway spending in the Pentagon and a failure, really, to try to rationalize defense spending because we have an irrational fear of terrorism. We have an elective war in Iraq, and it seems to be a third rail to raise legitimate questions about what we're spending and why.
Right. The Democrats are definitely afraid of that third rail. They've been savaged for years by the Republicans for being so-called anti-defense, and so they're adopting a strategy of protecting themselves by imitating the Republicans on defense budget issues. And as a matter of fact, they want to accelerate spending on various programs, and they think that makes them, quote, their term, smart and tough on defense. They're missing the whole point. The Republican defense policies on defense budget issues have been really ruinous for the last several years, even worse than Bill Clinton's during the Clinton administration.
And ruinous in what way, Winslow?
They're not speaking to any of the fundamental issues. We're spending more on defense than the rest of the world combined, not counting spending for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Oh, yeah, we've conveniently Enronized those expenses, and they're offshore.
In a sense.
They're off budget anyway.
There's several fundamental problems in the defense budget that neither the Democrats nor the Republicans are willing to face or seem to have the spine to face.
And they are?
One of them is financial management. Quite literally, in sending supplies to Iraq, we don't know who needs them. We don't know where the supplies are. We don't know who's gotten too much. We don't know who's gotten too little. That's a typical example of a system that cannot be audited, and that's true throughout defense accounts. It's not that the Pentagon flunks audits. It's that they can't be audited. They literally aspire to rise to the level where they can be audited and flunk.
And if we just look at the tenure of Donald Rumsfeld, how much money is missing or unaccounted for in the Pentagon since Rummy took charge?
Don't know. That's the problem. We don't know how much is being wasted. We don't know what's been lost because the system has put itself in a condition where it can, almost nothing can be tracked.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a situation that Rumsfeld created. It's one that he inherited. It's been true for about 2 decades. It's getting worse, and it's one of the fundamental problems that the Clinton administration promised to fix and didn't, and that the at his confirmation hearing in 2001, Donald Rumsfeld was asked by Senator Byrd about this problem, and he said he hoped to fix it. He's done almost nothing to fix it.
And isn't there are there not investigations into billions of dollars that cannot be accounted for at the Pentagon?
We've had report after report after report from both the General Accounting Office, or now they call them the Government Accountability Office, and the Department of Defense Inspector General, and they all basically say the same thing, that the Pentagon's financial books are such a mess that you cannot find out what's going on. You can find isolated examples of money that's spent and how it's been spent and whether the contractor has been paid too many times or too early or too late or not at all. But it probably makes Enron look like a well-run organization.
And how much of this, just in ballpark terms, Winslow, is related to earmarks and some of the favoritism that was shown to lobbyists like Mitchell Wade and Bill Lowry in their ability to get the Pentagon or to get the Congress to approve budget lines that the Pentagon didn't even ask for?
Right. The Congressional Research Service looked at the number and value of the earmarks Congress stuffed into the current defense bill, the one we're in fiscal 2006. They found about 2,500 earmarks costing $9.4 billion. That's probably one of the few categories where people do know whether the money's been spent, because if the money doesn't get to the contractor that the members specify to get the money, the congressman hears about it, and then they complain to the Defense Department and scream and yell. There was some really revealing documentation on this by the prosecutor who dealt with Duke Cunningham. Some of those documents show that when a Defense Department official had the temerity to spend or to try to spend some of that money for the purpose Cunningham wanted, but not the contractor he specified, Cunningham called him into his office, yelled at him, and then threatened to fire him when the official left. Cunningham called his boss and demanded his job. And to his undying shame, that senior defense official caved and made sure that the money was spent for the contractor that Cunningham wanted.
Wow. And that's just one example that we know about.
One. Interesting also, in those court documents, you'll see that the value of that particular earmark was about $6 million. The expense of performing the contract was about $400,000. They added on that an unnecessary warranty for another $200,000. The rest was profit. It was about an 800% profit for that contractor.
Amazing. Now, Winslow T. Wheeler, is there still an active Inspector General's office at the Pentagon? There was a woman, I believe she got demoted, and her name was Winifred, or?
I think her last name was Wood. Yes, they're still active. Unfortunately, Congress has permitted the appointment of Inspector Generals to be a political appointment.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, Donald Rumsfeld picks the nominee, and Congress virtually always improves them. So he's a political animal. To his credit, this Inspector General has done okay. Some of their reports have not been as aggressive as they could have been. On financial management, they have a strong tradition of doing a competent job. And the people who actually do the work on that have been around a long time, so those reports are a little bit more trustworthy.
In the piece you wrote where you, in my view, properly criticized the Democrats for being far too similar to Republicans on defense spending, you write, following this lead, Congress, with the Democrats as full partners, raids the manpower and readiness accounts at the Pentagon to pay for what it loves most to add to defense budgets, pork, costing billions and billions. The
Correct.
Result is that as the shrinking and aging proceeds, the force is becoming less and less ready to fight. These trends flourish under the Pentagon's managerial incompetence, which is exposed for all to see by the OMB, Office of Management and Budget's quarterly rating of all major federal agencies on five measures where basically the Pentagon flunks.
Not only flunks, but was ranked 24th of 25 in managerial competence.
That's amazing. Now, we'll give the Democrats one pass, if you will, which is they're not in the majority, and it is more difficult for them to oppose things in committee, really raise their issues or bring on an agenda of their own.
To be honest with you, I don't buy that.
Okay.
The first boss I worked for, Jacob Javits, was a Republican. The Republicans were in a minority in the Senate all through the 70s. Javits was frequently able to form coalitions with other moderate Republicans and moderate Democrats and get a majority. A current example is that the Democrats today complain that those nasty Republicans won't let them form a Truman Commission to look into defense waste and abuse and try to ferret it out and do something about it. And they say this hasn't been done because those dastardly Republicans won't let them do it. Well, if they had bothered to do 5 minutes of research, they'd find out how Truman put together his commission. In 1940, he got in his car, which he described as an old Dodge, and drove to military bases after the first pre-war appropriations back then. He found horror story after horror story of wasted money, wrote a report, took it to the White House. The White House told him to go away, basically. And so he gave a speech in the Senate floor. And the speech was compelling enough that a majority of both parties supported his forming a commission. You don't see the Democrats doing that. You don't see them going to military bases, doing competent research about what's going on, reporting on it, asking the White House to do something about it, giving them a chance to do so. And if they don't, trying to put together a majority in Congress to form some kind of competent investigatory unit.
And you'd think they've been in the minority long enough they would have figured out how to be a useful opposition. We'll pick up there as we continue. Winslow T. Wheeler is our guest, a former Senate staffer, who is offering what I think is some right-on criticism about the Democrats' posture toward defense spending. If you have a question or comment, join us, 831-899-5792, or toll-free, 1-888-579-2540. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. KRXA 540 takes a look at your traffic on the Friday ride home. Here's Ken Culpa at Metro Traffic.
Thank you. This traffic report is brought to you by TomTom Go. It's your portable everyday GPS solution. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way. To learn more, visit TomTom.com. Let's check out Highway 17, northbound 17 in Santa Cruz at El Rancho Drive. We have an accident, two vehicles involved out there. They're off to the shoulder, but traffic backing up. Northbound 101 in Prunedale before Echo Valley Road, there's a disabled big rig. That's partially blocking the right lane. Traffic slow through there as well. The Pacheco Pass, Highway 152 at Dinosaur Point. Fire crews out there to help extinguish a brush fire that's burning near the roadway. In Castroville, Highway 183 at Crane Street, we have an accident. That's off to the right shoulder. Two vehicles involved. Minor injuries reported. Tow trucks going out there to help resolve that. That's a look at traffic. I'm Ken Culpa for KRXA 540 AM.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, where his Bradness Brad Friedman will join us after the top of the hour news. And we continue our conversation with Winslow T. Wheeler, a former Senate staffer who is talking with us about the Democratic posture toward defense spending. He is a senior fellow and director of the Strauss Military Reform Project over at the Center for Defense Information. And, Winslow, I'm curious if you have had a chance to read Greg Palast's new book called Armed Madhouse?
No, I'm afraid I haven't.
Well, if you have a chance, pick it up. It's an entertaining read. He's very good at making dense information pretty kind of fun to absorb. And one of the points he makes in the book is the way that, at least under this Republican administration, defense contractors have been permitted to have great latitude. And even in programs that the Pentagon is winding down, they shower large amounts of money on these defense contractors, even after they've decided not to buy a particular weapons program or jet or, I guess one of the projects was a missile that you could put some soldiers in and fire it out of a submarine, torpedo.
Mini-submarine.
Yeah, some kind of mini-sub-torpedo that could be fired out of a submarine. And I guess United Defense, which, of course, is linked to the Carlyle Group and the Bush family in that manner, got a huge wind-down payment, not for the device I just described, but for some sort of a fighting machine. And so is that a source of waste that is political in its nature?
Yes and no. First of all, it's not a practice unique to the Republicans. It's a standard Pentagon acquisition practice to do these things, and that behavior was alive and well during the Clinton administration as well.
All right. I'm not surprised.
One is when you cancel a program, you have cancellation fees, and you have to, make under the term whatever the terms of the contract say, you owe the contractor a certain amount of money if the contract is canceled. One of the more egregious things that's been going on recently that's gotten worse under Mr. Rumsfeld is to pay contractors bonus fees for good work even when the performance of the contract has been bad.
So,
are you talking about Halliburton?
I don't know that I bet you they've gotten some of those performance awards, but I'm thinking more in terms of Lockheed and Boeing and other major contractors who get rewarded for doing lousy work.
Mm-hmm.
A good example was the V-22. Bell Textron was paid performance fees for incredibly sloppy fabrication.
You also cite the F-22 as a program that has been kind of kept alive or on life support with a lot of support from Democrats.
Right. It's a hugely expensive airplane. It's a fighter that was born in 1983. The plan was to buy 750 of them for about $120 million per copy. That cost right back then was pretty steep. The program has gotten totally out of control. It's now costing us about $320 million per airplane. And the purchase has gone down from this originally conceived 750 to 181, completely puny little force that is not going to help us anywhere if the F-22 were a relevant weapon for today's kind of warfare, which it is not. And if we ever were so foolish as to get into a conflict with China where the F-22 would be relevant, it would be no help for two reasons. There's not enough of them to comprise a meaningful force in real air-to-air combat against somebody with a large, competent air force. And secondly, even though it costs this huge amount per copy, its performance is completely underwhelming. On aerodynamic issues, it is less of a performer than F-15s and F-16s. On the wondrous new dimensions it's supposed to bring to us, its ability to not be detected by radar is a lot less than what the Air Force will tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And its ability to so-called supercruise, in other words, to fly supersonically, not in afterburner, is extremely limited because the fuel fraction of the airplane, in other words, the amount of fuel it carries per pound of airplane, is too small.
It's like a Hummer.
A Hummer actually turned out to be reasonably successful. It's expensive, Hummers are, but as a Jeep follow-on, it's working okay. It's an atrocious idea as an armored personnel carrier,
yeah.
But as a Jeep, it's not so bad.
Well, GM, in order to sell those gas guzzlers, is now guaranteeing you a year of gas at $1.99 a gallon.
It's going to cost them a lot of money.
It is. That's going to be a very interesting to see if it's cost-effective and if they're able to unload those gas guzzlers with that kind of a guarantee. Well, let me return to your basic theme, which is the way the Democrats are really equally complicit with the Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
Can you name a couple of the key members of the Armed Services Committee, or maybe it's over in Appropriations, who you think progressives should lean on to try to wake them up about these issues?
I think they should lean on whoever their senator is. One of the more atrocious practices is what you read from that piece I wrote, the use of the practice of raiding operations and maintenance money to pay for pork. They're quite literally raiding the accounts that pay for gasoline, training, spare parts, that kind of thing, to pay for tree snake programs, Lewis and Clark bicentennials, Memorial Day celebrations, all museums, all kinds of foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
I would encourage listeners to whoever their congressman or senator is to cut that out and to stand in the way of it. Dianne Feinstein, one of your senators, is a member of the Senate Appropriations Committee.
Mm-hmm.
She's never done anything about this. As a matter of fact, as a member of the Defense Military Construction Subcommittee in Appropriations, she's been quite happy to lard on
additional military construction spending in California, little of it relevant to the war, and to stand with her, you know, her hands folded, while the way to pay for this is arranged by the staff by raiding other parts of the bill.
Mm-hmm. We're out of time here. Winslow T. Wheeler, thank you for joining us, and thank you for speaking up. I think this is an important issue, and unlike other progressive programs, we believe that when Democrats deserve criticism, it should be delivered. So thank you for delivering.
It's nice to talk to you. Thank you very much.
All right. Coming up next, Brad Friedman from the Brad Blog joins us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Visit my website, peterbcollins.com.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Chris Mavridis. So how was work today? Chances are you have a job.
This morning's economic report shows that America's national unemployment rate is down to 4.6% because we added 75,000 jobs in the month of May.
But it's not all as rosy as the president says it is. Finding a job in some industries is just next to impossible. Just ask CBS's Anthony Mason.
We're seeing that construction companies are hiring fewer people. Construction was booming up until recently. It was driving job growth. All of a sudden, it stopped. It stopped because people have stopped buying houses, so the builders don't need to build as many. They're not hiring as many people.
Okay, fewer construction jobs. But factor in inflation, and Moody's.com economist Zoltan Poser says...
Bad news is good news in the sense that we were looking for the economy to slow, and we were looking for monthly job gains to slow, because that's what we need for the Fed to pause.
And keep interest rates low. When U.S. soldiers engaged in a firefight last March, they thought they were hitting an insurgent base set up inside a house in Iraq. Turns out it wasn't. They got one bad guy, 11 others, all civilians, died too. Today, those soldiers were cleared of any wrongdoing.
Obviously, you're saddened to see civilians killed in combat, but glad to see that in this case, the forces were construed to have raised the level of force adequately as they came under attack from these buildings as they approached them.
At CBS News military consultant Jeff McCausland, those weren't the only members of the U.S. military in trouble.
In a separate case, this one from last April in Hammondia, lawyers representing Marines held in the brig at Camp Pendleton, California, are quoted as saying they expect murder and conspiracy charges to be filed for the killing of an unarmed Iraqi man. Pentagon officials say the man was dragged from his home and shot by Marines, who then tried to make it look like they had caught him planting a roadside bomb.
That's CBS's David Martin at the Pentagon. Over at Fort Meade, an Army dog handler was sentenced today for abusing prisoners at Abu Ghraib. Sergeant Santos Cardona gets 90 days hard labor and a reduction in pay. Thinking about getting behind the wheel of a 2006 Nissan Altima or Sentra SER? You won't find any dealerships selling them. Nissan has ordered them not to.
The defect is that the engines will overheat due to burning through the oil. They can overheat to the extent that they will catch on fire.
Clarence Ditlow is with the Center for Auto Safety and says a recall hasn't been called yet, but if you own one, you should probably take it in for a look-see. Friday night, maybe you'll head out to your favorite restaurant, but you're not on one of those Nouveau Cuisine diets, are you?
Not a big fan of smaller portions.
But what about all those extra calories? The Food and Drug Administration is worried for you. They don't want you to be fat or get fatter, so they're asking restaurant owners nationwide to make those portions a little smaller. On Wall Street, the Dow ended the week a little thinner, falling about 12.5 points. This is CBS News.
Every day, millions of people go to Match.com. So many of them find love, get married, and raise families. So is online dating for you? Now, Match.com has created a new starter kit so you can find out. And for a limited time, it's free for everyone who visits Match.com. Online dating is a great way to meet someone these days. Get going with our new starter kit. Yours free. Only at Match.com, the number one site for love.
Get the good stuff! Father's Day is right around the corner, so stop into your local Napa Auto Parts store for a Father's Day gift your dad is going to love. The Vice Grip 3-Piece Groove Lock Tool Set. And right now, you can get it for just $59.99. Hey, with the press and slide button that adjusts the pliers up to 50% faster, this set can help dad tackle any project. The Vice Grip 3-Piece Groove Lock Tool Set, just $59.99. Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff!
Okay, so just what scares you?
A huge asteroid on a killer path with the Earth. It's a great Hollywood theme.
How big?
It's what we call a global killer. Nothing would survive, not even bacteria.
But is it far-fetched? Japanese scientists say studies involving a space probe that landed on an asteroid last year suggest that they pose much less of a threat than previously thought. What the probe found was that asteroids are a very loose compilation of rock and gravel, barely held together by their own weak gravity, and even the big ones would most likely burn up in the atmosphere before reaching terra firma. Jim Shenevy, CBS News.
When one Spanish couple decided to get a divorce, a court said she gets custody of Yako and he gets visitation. But things changed, and she would no longer allow him to see his boy. They went back to court, and the judge sided with her, saying he has no visitation rights. By the way, Yako's a dog. The court said child custody laws don't apply when your baby eats kibble. Chris Mavridis, CBS News.
For me, buying a home is more than the number of bedrooms and bathrooms.
Can't imagine making a purchase like that without having someone you can trust.
Somebody with integrity protecting you.
Ethics are crucial.
Honesty and dependability.
I can't call myself a realtor unless I complete ethics training.
Realtors adhere to a strict code of ethics, so you know you'll be treated honestly. Ask if your agent is a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
They live and work by a code of ethics, and that was really important to me.
Michelin presents a Michelin Man Manifesto.
The Michelin Man is encouraging drivers to hang up the phone and bring some concentration to the driver's seat. Michelin Pilot Performance Sport tires help deliver race-inspired grip and handling on both wet and dry pavement, so you'll have the confidence and uncompromising performance to focus in on achieving blacktop bliss. See your Michelin dealer or MichelinMan.com.
Michelin, a better way forward.
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do it, Tone. Ordinarily at this time on Fridays, we get an update from Sacramento from our man on the budget committee. He chairs it, Assemblyman John Laird from Santa Cruz. But he is knee-deep in budget committee negotiations, working into the night, unable to join us today. And that's the benefit to Brad. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com visits us every Friday, too. And we're giving him a little extra time this week because there's so much to talk about, and we've got our critical primary election coming up on Tuesday. Brad Friedman, welcome.
Hey, Peter. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great today, and I understand you got a little time off, and you're checking in from San Diego today.
Well, yeah, you know what happened? I took your advice. I think last week we spoke, you said I should take a few days off. So I tried to take a few days off, and look at the mess I'm in now. Of course, anytime I go away, that's when the big story breaks. So I've been spending the last 3 or 4 days when I was supposed to be taking it easy, doing nothing but working around the clock. But hey, I'm doing it in a different room than I normally do, so that's a vacation.
Well, that's good. And, of course, the big break this week is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. published a lengthy analysis of the Ohio election debacle in Rolling Stone magazine. And so it's nice to see you getting some company out there on these important issues, Brad.
Yeah, it's been kind of lonely for the last year and a half, but I take some comfort, of course, in this article. Brad Blog readers and perhaps even Peter B. listeners will recognize a lot of the information in this article, but it's a pretty extraordinary article, and it's something like 17 pages long, one of the longest that Rolling Stone has ever run. Certainly a high-profile guy like Bobby Kennedy makes a big difference when he jumps into this game. So it's really great to have him doing that. And all of these facts, like I say, some of them may already be familiar, but putting them all into one place together like that, and I think he did an excellent job, very cogent format, is really quite breathtaking. Don't know if you've gotten a chance to plow through the whole thing, but boy, oh boy, when you look at it and you see all of this stuff in one place and you see that, you know, he's talking about at least 350,000 voters in Ohio were either disenfranchised or had their votes flipped, apparently, from Kerry to Bush. Boy, it really makes a difference when you realize that it was only 118,000 votes that separated the two of them. So flipping even 60,000 votes in Ohio would have given the presidency from John Kerry to George Bush, and Bobby Kennedy is contending that that is exactly what seems to have happened.
Well, I have not had the chance to absorb the whole article, Brad. I glanced over the bullet points, and we've talked a little bit about it.
Yeah.
Was there anything in your view that was a new development, a new piece of evidence, or was this mostly a compilation of the work that you've done and Wasserman and Fetrakis in Columbus, Ohio, and others who have analyzed the results, the failure for example, of the exit polls to match the outcome, even in a remote way?
Yeah, well, there was, there actually was quite a few new details. He did work with Fetrakis at the Free Press, as I understand it, on a lot of this stuff, a lot of the material, so and of course, the Conyers report. But there were some new details surrounding, in fact, the exit polls. Stephen Freeman, who has been very critical of the exit polls for God knows how long, since really in just the days after the 2004 election, he offers some new details which further undermine the claims of the exit pollsters, Matosky Edison, who had basically been claiming that the reason the exit polls were so incredibly wrong this time was this theory, which they present with no evidence whatsoever, that there were these, what do they call them, shy Bush respondents. In other words, Bush voters, for some reason, didn't want to talk to the exit pollers, and that's why there were so many more folks who voted for Kerry, or who were registered for Kerry than for Bush in the exit polls.
Yeah, but that suggests that these Republicans have any shame left.
Yeah, well, aside from suggesting that, there's no basis for it, and in fact, it appears now to be quite the opposite. And Stephen Freeman, who in this article even says, I loathe Democrats. You know, a lot of folks have said, oh, this is a bunch of Democrats whining. He says, I loathe Democrats, but I'm looking at this, and there is no way that this can happen. And the Matosky-Edison explanation makes no sense, because as it turned out, in precincts where the support for Bush was, in Bush precincts, the exit polling showed that respondents, Bush respondents, were far higher than what they had in Kerry-leaning districts. Mm-hmm. So it's quite the opposite of the explanation that they gave. And, of course, when they gave that explanation, they gave it with actually no evidence to go along with it. It was really just a theory. And the point being here that, you know, exit polls are incredibly accurate. They use them around the world to determine fraud at elections. And, in fact, they used them in the Ukraine just a month after our own elections in 2004. And when those exit polls showed that the results were different from the final results, Bush and Colin Powell and everybody else came out and said, well, that's evidence of fraud. When the same thing happened here, nobody said a word. And apparently the media, by and large, continues to say nothing. But there is just no way that you could have those kind of answers to exit polls and have that final result be so vastly different in state after state after state.
As a son of the Buckeye State, allow me to grossly generalize, and I will say that I have never found a Republican in Ohio who was shy about being a Republican or voting that way. If anything, Democrats are a little more surreptitious and private about their politics just because they're in a very clear minority there.
Right. Well, you know, it could be argued. I mean, I suppose the basis for the argument, you know, Bush was in an unpopular war in 2004. Although even at that point, I believe that still a majority of the country supported the war and him at that point. But you could argue, oh, it was an unpopular war and people were ashamed to admit they were voting for Bush or something along those lines. But there, frankly, is simply no evidence to back it up. And, you know, Bobby Kennedy comes right out and says, look, you know, the evidence is overwhelming that what we had in 2004 was a stolen election. And indeed, he gets, you know, some quotes, and this is something else that's new, you know, quotes from folks such as Lou Harris, who's the of the Harris poll. He calls him the father of modern day political polling. And he, too, says he's never seen an article that was so what did he say here? Ohio was as dirty an election as America has ever seen. That's Lou Harris from the Harris poll. So there is a lot to dig your teeth into. If you're not familiar or if you've only heard him in bits and pieces, boy, give a look to this article at Rolling Stone. Because
it's all over the web, too. You can find it at Truth Out, many different locations. So you don't have to buy a copy of Rolling Stone or sing the Dr. Hook song to read it.
That's right. And, I mean, it really puts all the numbers into one place. And there is some extraordinary stuff that happened in Ohio. It was your state, so I'll blame you for it, Peter. But some extraordinary stuff. And, you know, seeing it all in one place is just mind-boggling, I think, to a lot of folks who haven't really been paying attention.
Now, how much did Robert F. Kennedy Jr. use the D word in describing the problems in Ohio, and I'm referring to Diebold?
Well, actually, by the time the final article came out, and I know that there was a lot of wrangling between the original drafts and the final article, there was not a lot on Diebold, because, in fact, Diebold was not necessarily all over Ohio in 2004.
Right.
That came a little bit later. There was some chicanery concerning Diebold, however. That is covered, and in a sidebar that I think is perhaps amongst the most notable, because the article, for the most part, looks back at 2004, and as you know, while I've been all over that, I've also been looking forward and sort of moving the ball forward to the mess we're in now. And so what he does, he covers some of this Diebold mess a little bit more in the sidebar, actually, and calls for an immediate federal investigation into electronic voting.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, who will answer that call? Well, that remains to be seen. But, you know, he says there's enough reason to believe that there is, certainly with all the security issues that we've dealt with,
mm-hmm.
That it should be investigated on that basis alone. But also, you know, Blackwell, who's heading into the election now in Ohio, where he's now running for governor.
Right.
And he is still the Secretary of State. He's still controlling those machines and those elections. And, I mean, it's an insane system, Peter. I don't have to tell you. It's an insane system.
No, you don't, but you can.
I have to, because it blows my mind every time that I think about it, that this guy is running his own elections on his own machines in a company that he has purchased stock in. What the hell is going on here with our, you know, once great American democracy?
Well, we're going to keep asking that question. We'll continue in just a moment with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. He's got news about Ann Coulter's legal problems of the way she votes, and it's going to be interesting. Also, a new encounter with David Baer, the sole national spokesperson for the Diebold Corporation. He says the machines are fine. Oh, yeah. We'll talk about that as we continue. And your calls are welcome, too, here for Brad Friedman. 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or toll free at 1-888-579-2540. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show, and we're not letting go. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
So tell me, Norma, just who is this Robert Owen who is running for sheriff of Monterey County?
Robert Owen lives in Soledad, and he has 30 years of experience in law enforcement. Robert Owen is a Monterey County jail sergeant who has dedicated his life to protect and serve every Monterey County resident. Robert Owen is a devoted and loving father of five children. I should know because Robert Owen is my husband, and he will be the finest sheriff Monterey County has ever had.
Paid for by Robert Owen, candidate for Monterey County Sheriff.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones, everything's so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pillar affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a Baba Ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery
in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today.
173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
KRXA 540 with a look at your traffic on this Friday afternoon. Here's Ken Culpa, Metro Traffic.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Northbound Highway 17 in the Santa Cruz Mountains before the summit, there's a disabled vehicle. The second lane from the left is blocked. In Prunedale, northbound 101 at Crazy Horse Canyon Road, we've got a disabled vehicle. It's a installed big rig actually out there that's blocking the right lane. In Castroville, Highway 183 at Crane Street, still have this accident out there. A couple of vehicles involved, minor injuries reported. They're off to the right-hand shoulder, and the tow trucks are finally removing those vehicles. Caltrans working out there. Del Monte Avenue between Sloat Avenue and Camino El Estero in Monterey. They've begun a maintenance project, which includes resurfacing some lanes out there, so you might find a little bit of a slow-up out there. Help your gas mileage and your engine go farther with Mobil 1 Full Synthetic Motor Oil. Now just $4.99 a quart at Napa Auto Parts. Napa, get the good stuff. That's a look at traffic. I'm Ken for KRXA 540.
The Peter B. Collins Show continues on this Friday afternoon with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Your calls and comments are welcome. You can join us toll-free at 1-888-579-2540.
Here we come, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. Hey, hey, we're Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown? We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We just steal elections. Run the country into the ground. We're just trying to be greedy.
And we continue with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. And we're joined by Kelly in Salinas. Good afternoon, Kelly. You're on the air.
Hi. I've got a question for you about the machines and things like that.
Okay, and let me just warn Brad that you called yesterday, and I encouraged you to call back today to talk directly to his Bradness.
Yes, okay, good. I did. Oh, well, my question is, we're listening about this, and we're deconstructing what happened, and, you know, how things were manipulated, how the votes were manipulated. And the problem I'm finally getting to is, what can we do now? Because do we call people? Do we write to congressmen? I feel like this angst is kind of building up because we know something happened. I'm seeing it looming again in June or November, feeling really impotent because I don't have any tools to fix or to avoid this happening again.
Well, actually, you do. Thanks for that question. And you do have tools, and you're using them now, your phone,
yeah.
Your computer. You're absolutely right. You need to call these people. You need to send letters to the editor. You need to, frankly, and I wish I could give something more specific above and beyond saying, please make noise. But right now, that's really what's important. You do have to make noise. You do have to tell your elections officials, your board of elections. I'm not sure which county you're in out there, but you know, go to your county board of election, find out what sort of machines they're using. And
In fact, Brad, Kelly is in Salinas, so she could go in and apply for Tony Anshundo's job.
Yes, God, no.
There's a vacancy there, and it comes with a really nice county credit card.
Yes, and if that doesn't work, you can go up to San Francisco and have your own private access to the electronic voting machines, hauling them from place to place. You can do anything you want with them while you got them, apparently. But yeah, you do have to make noise, and you have to ask these people what they're doing. And we know in Tony Anshundo's, I guess, former county, they're using these Sequoia machines, which have this so-called voter verified paper trail that nobody counts. So you need to make noise, and you can, by the way, please consider being a poll worker so you can be there reporting on what's going on and be there on election night at your precinct when these votes are counted and at the tabulation centers where they're counted. In California, you are allowed by law to witness the counting and, you know, be there. Make a pest of yourself. You know, I say it all the time, but the media and the politicians are not going to take care of this problem, at least not right now. This really is up to the citizenry, and I'm not unlike you. I'm just a citizen here. You know, start making noise like I am. Get yourself a blog and make noise.
I have one more question.
Sure.
I apologize. I can hear an echo on my phone. I hope you can't.
No, it's okay. We can hear you fine.
There's organizations like Move On and other places I know that did have people that could sign up to work as Move On representatives at the polls. Is that as effective as actually acting as a poll worker and doing those kinds of yelling through the internet and things?
I think that nothing compares to actually being a poll worker, because you then have some standing. If there is a concern, if there is a question, if you see something on election day, to speak out and to be able to say, look, I was a poll worker and here's what I saw and here's what they instructed us to do and here's how they, you know, didn't follow state law and they didn't count the 1%, it's rather pathetic, but the 1% manual audit that they're supposed to do. So it does give you some sort of a standing, and frankly, you're doing a civic duty. We need more folks out there who are poll workers, and you know, who aren't 87 years old. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but you know, who are able to comprehend what's going on and make some noise about it after it happens.
Good, thank you.
All right,
Kelly. Better, and that's what I'll do. Thanks.
Thanks,
Peter.
For checking back today. I really appreciate that. That's Kelly in Salinas. And you can join us, too, toll-free 888-579-2540. Just a minute before our next break, Brad. So I wanted to talk about an item on the blog here, which is from last night's MSNBC. That little mother, Tucker Carlson, had Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on the show, and your guest blogger, David Edwards, described it as usual. Carlson conducts the interview with the attention span and intellect of a 3-year-old, and that may be an insult to 3-year-olds.
Yes. he hit it out of the park on that one. I mean, he attacked Kennedy, didn't give him a chance to get in a word edgewise. He kept asking for evidence and then wouldn't allow him to give it to him. And I understand about an hour ago, and I'm sorry that I missed it, Kennedy was also on Wolf Blitzer on CNN, and I hear that he got a similar treatment there. And as well, they brought in a Bush Cheney spokesperson, Holt, I think Terry Holt, is that his name?
Yes.
To come in, and Terry Holt apparently didn't bother to attack what Kennedy was saying because, frankly, Kennedy has the facts and the sourcing to back it up. Instead, apparently this guy pulled out all kinds of stuff about Democrats stuffing the ballot box and shredding registration forms and basically
all they started
the
to backfire
that Republicans did. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Brad, we'll take a break and return in just a moment with Brad Friedman. Go to bradblog.com for full information on the stories we're talking about. And I promise we'll get to Ann Coulter before the end of this hour. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey has everything you need from high-end liquor to the very best in fine wines. It's the real deal. Family-owned for over 40 years, John will give you one-on-one personal attention, just like family. Have a special request? Not a problem. Open every day from 9 to 9. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is located on Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village, near the Del Monte Center. Look for Doug Huckleberry, who greets you at the door. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits wants you to please drink responsibly.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Palacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you personalities and interesting topics from the world of food, wine, and travel. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, restaurateurs, famous chefs, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored by the Monterey Salinas Transit's Grapevine Express. The Grapevine Express runs weekends from the Aquarium to Carmel Valley. For more information, call toll-free 888-678-2781 or visit the web at mst.org.
Hi, I'm Joan Kenley with Talking Matters, this Saturday at 3 on KRXA 540. We'll ask, can loving intention change your life? Our guests are Dr. Brenda Wade and Marcia Jaffe, wildly successful women who will touch your mind, body, heart, and soul. Brenda will tell us how intention infused her new book, Power Choices, and about her television appearances on PBS this month. Her love-centered approach to transformation is also what our show is about. Marsha's vacation to Bali created her intention to do something special, and she launched the Quest for Global Healing conferences there. As Oprah says, ask yourself, what is my truest intention? When it's right, your entire body will feel it. Can loving intention change your life? Find out this Saturday at 3 on Talking Matters.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Monday morning feels so bad.
And it's Friday.
Everybody seems to nag me. Coming Tuesday, I feel better. Even my old man looks good. Wednesday just don't go.
And we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. If you have a question or comment about voting, about the election coming up on Tuesday, feel free to join us. 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast or toll-free 1-888-579-2540. And Brad, we're joined now by Sean Bagley, who is an activist and a member of the Democratic Central Committee of Monterey County. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Peter. Great to talk to you again. How
nice
are you,
to catch
sir?
Up with you, my man. How's it going?
Oh, I just am heading for some of the Democratic activities happening this weekend before the election, and I'm glad I get an opportunity to talk to you and your listeners. That's the key part of this. This is a great election coming up Tuesday. So far
under the law, we haven't really seen any prosecutions for campaign violations as a result of the use of Photoshop. But it appears that one candidate here along the Central Coast, Lou Calcagno, either that or his kid, got a hold of a copy of Photoshop and just went to town.
I'm glad you see the flyer. And I just want you to know an event happened in District 2. And this is all about the District 2 voters, and especially the Democratic voters. There's 16,500 of them in District 2. And this is all about getting them out to vote. And quite frankly, Supervisor Liu basically has made an attempt purely, blatantly, to deceive the voters of District 2. And it's, the party, I'm on the Democratic Central Committee that represents the we're elected officials, mm-hmm. represents the California Democratic Party, which in turn represents the Democratic National Committee. And Lou Calcagno, if you've seen the flyer, you can describe it, Peter, or I can describe it. I don't know if you've seen it. But
I haven't seen it. I've seen it described. So tell us what it looks like.
You will be outraged. I was outraged. And District 2 voters, you got it in the mail on Wednesday. It has a picture across the top of Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, John Edwards, and a picture of Hillary Clinton being sworn in as she won senatorship.
Mm-hmm.
And in the front of them, spelled in an interesting font, and it was great that you talked about the clip art program
mm-hmm.
on software, it says, continuing the great tradition. And in underneath those faces are pictures of Democrats here in Monterey County who are great Democrats who are backing Lou Calcagno for supervisor in District 2.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to me, and underneath that it says, Monterey County Democrats endorse Lou Calcagno for re-election. It is patently false. Yes, Monterey County Democrats back Lou.
Some do.
They do not have a right. We represent the Monterey County Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, quite frankly, Peter, I'm going to say this on the air because I just came from a news conference that you and your listeners would be outraged when Lou's people showed up at 1 o'clock at our news conference, basically asking Lou to basically disavow any knowledge and retract this flyer, this mailer, to retract it. It's mm-hmm. patently false. Of course, the Clintons do not even know who Lou Calcagno is, let alone where he lives. And I want you to know, we called Bill Clinton's office.
Mm-hmm.
We called Hillary Clinton's office. And we even have a statement from Mark Torres, the chairman of the California Democratic Party. Luca Cagno has been a registered Republican for 30 years. God bless him, but he has no right to somehow infer that the DNC, with a past president, endorses him for the post of supervisor District 2. It is Peter, you're going to get angrier when you see the flyer.
Well, fax over a copy, will you? I'd love to see it.
I will get you an email right away, no doubt.
And what I see here is in this article is that also one of the Democrats featured on the front mail piece is Sheriff Mike Conilakis, who's a Republican.
Thank you very much. You know, and again, you had at this press conference the campaign chairman of Mr. Calcagno, who basically said he was responsible for putting it on there. Now, he's a trained campaign manager, I'm sure, Republican, which is fine. Lou's a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, on the back, when he said he stands by the flyer, Lou stands by the flyer, it's 1,000% correct. I want you to know there's six other registered Republicans on the list on the back. There's about 35 people listed. There's a homeowners association listed that is supposedly a Democratic organization. I'm sorry. What does he take the voters of District 2 for? This is insulting. It's ridiculous. And I want, this is what I'm saying, and I was on the show this morning, and the press conference today, they interrupted it. Now, God bless a young reporter who went up to them, and these were people carrying signs, Monterey Democrats for Lou, named some of the prominent elected Democrats for Lou, and the reporter asked them, who are you and what your sign says, Democrats for Lou, who are you? Oh, we're with the College Republicans. So if Lou wants to play, he made this partisan, Peter.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't. This is a nonpartisan post.
Well,
it has
truth,
nothing to do with the election.
And truth is the victim here, Sean.
Yeah, it's the voters of District 2. And I am out, you know, I'm kind of a passionate guy, Peter. You know me?
I do.
And I am very, very disappointed. And right now, right here, that is a Karl Rovian move.
Yes, it is.
And quite frankly, we can stop it here in Monterey County. We can start in District 2. We can take back America next after we take back Monterey County and start this flood and get this country back right here, Ground Zero, Monterey County, District 2. This is outrageous. I am just, you hear my passion. I'm trying not to go there.
All right, but Sean, I got it. Thanks a lot for checking in today, and keep the pressure on because the truth does will out or something like that.
Hey, I appreciate your time, and go listeners, go Democrats.
Okay, thank you, Sean. Good to talk to you. Now, Brad, this is probably not the first occasion you've heard of these kinds of misleading mailers. In my home mailbox in the last 10 days, I have received so much stuff that is really either shading the truth or flatly false about candidates in my local area.
It's amazing. I mean, this dishonesty has just pervaded all the way down to the local level, and it seems that there is no federal body nor any state body, I guess, that is out there policing this. These guys are able to get away with whatever they want, and apparently lying like that in election materials is perfectly acceptable in America these days.
Well,
it's amazing.
Yeah, and we have to speak up and out these things when they occur, because a lot of times they simply rely on the privacy of the mail.
Yep.
And that once you receive it, you may respond to it, and it might affect your voting, but you kind of toss it away, and there's not much interaction. It's not like you go and show it to your friends or anything like that. And in my experience in campaigns, we've seen over the last 4 to 5 cycles, the direct mail is now used almost exclusively to hit the opponent.
Yeah, it is. A lot of dirty tricks, and you're right. It is up to people when they receive these things. You know, a lot of the things that we've received that we reported at Brad Blog and so forth, you know, came after, for example, the 2004 election when people were getting these things in the mail telling them, don't forget to vote on Wednesday, November 3rd.
the day after election, you know, and when we get those things, we can run them on the blog. So, you know, feel free to contact me. You guys get dirty mail like that. You know, feel free to scan it and send it over to brad@bradblog.com. I'm always interested in busting these scamsters. And frankly, I don't care which party they are. We need to clean up our elections here.
Brad, we got about 2 minutes to the next break here. Can we do Ann Coulter in 2 minutes?
I could try.
That's a loaded question, sorry.
I know. I don't think I'd want to spend any more than that. But anyway, she apparently registered down in Florida some time ago to vote under an address that was not hers, and then signed an oath that the information was accurate, or it would be facing up to 5 years in the federal penitentiary for a third-degree felony. And it turned out that she doesn't live at that address, and in fact, she went ahead and voted elsewhere in recent elections in February, and now she is facing potential voter fraud charges, and as I say, maybe 5 years in the pen. Today, it was announced in the Palm Beach Post that she is lawyering up, though she hasn't responded to any of the questions from the Palm Beach County, Florida election supervisor, who asked, you know, basically, what the hell were you thinking? She did not respond, but she has now hired an attorney. Surprise, surprise, it's an attorney related to the Bush White House, one who had been a federal prosecutor and was deeply involved in the 2000 election scam debacle down there in Florida. That's who's going to be representing Ann Coulter as she tries to hang on to her right to vote and stay out of the jail because a felon, of course, in the state of Florida is not allowed to vote.
Oh, yeah, we could purge her from the rolls?
Yep. although that tends to work better if you're either black or a Democrat down there.
Right.
But she may be in, hopefully, she's in big trouble here, and it's rather ironic given the fact that the Republicans love to run around saying that Democrats are committing voter fraud. And here we have a pretty cut-and-dry case that it seems she has done exactly that and has no explanation for it whatsoever.
And she also may be culpable for, you point out here in the blog, she took a $25,000 homestead tax deduction, which I guess would be based on actually living in this $1.3 million Palm Beach house.
Yeah, it has to be your main residence, and she's been running around when people have asked her about this at her college speaking tours. She says, you're a retard. I'm paraphrasing, but it was pretty close to that. I don't even live in Palm Beach. So if that's the case, why the hell is she taking a $25,000 tax deduction on her $1.3 million crib in Palm Beach County?
Very, very interesting. I guess, you know, when you're a neocon spokesperson, the rules do not apply. Brad, we're going to take a break and return. We'll take more calls, too, if you'd like to join us, 831-899-5792 or toll-free 1-888-579-2540. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
There are radio talk shows about sports, politics, money, sex, and religion. Now there's a talk show for parents and everyone else who cares for and about children. It's Childhood Matters, every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540. I'm the host, Rona Renner, the mother of four, a new grandmother, a nurse, and parent educator. Listen and call in Childhood Matters every Sunday from 9 to 10 here on KRXA 540.
If you missed the show, then you missed Hal's outstanding career advice.
You know, Coach, there's some vacancies in Baghdad right now for some correspondence. We can always send you out there.
Feel the love. Weekday mornings, 9 to 10, the show on KRXA 540 AM.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. KRXA 540, with one more look at your traffic on this Friday afternoon, here's Ken Culpa.
Thanks so much. It's brought to you by TomTom. TomTom Go is your portable everyday GPS solution. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way. To learn more, visit TomTom.com. Right now in the Santa Cruz Mountains, northbound 17 before the summit, we have a disabled vehicle. It's a pickup truck pulling a trailer that stalled in the right lane. Over in Glen Canyon Road at Redwood Drive in Santa Cruz, it's an injury accident, a motorcyclist that's down. Emergency crews responding to that. And in Prunedale, northbound 101 at Martins Road, we have a stalled big rig that's blocking one of the lanes out there. And on the other side of Prunedale, eastbound 156 before Highway 101, there's an accident on the right shoulder. Two cars are involved out there. Also, some Caltrans work at Davis Road between Westridge Parkway and Auto Center Circle. There's maintenance work going on as crews are resurfacing out.
We're in the home stretch here on the Peter B. Collins Show this Friday evening. And we continue with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. And we're joined by Susan in Santa Cruz. Hi, Susan. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter. I guess I'm in activist phase again.
Oh, here you go again. Good.
Yeah, here we go again. Anyway, I saw that newscast, and it was really annoying, too, because KSBW has this way of making Mickey Mouse out of everything, you know, kind of making it light.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked the guy who did it, you know, why he did it, and he said he was asked to. He was asked to do this Democratic slant thing.
Uh-huh.
And then their people said that they were doing it because they have all these Democrats behind him. So that was kind of really annoying. Anyway, at that point, I thought, oh, gosh, I've watched the news for almost 15 minutes, and they haven't mentioned the article that Robert F. Kennedy put out with the indisputable evidence that that election was stolen.
Yeah.
And so I called KSBW 8,
mm-hmm.
and I just expressed, you know, my desire to see this thing covered in the news, because it is really one of the most important pieces of news in all of America's history.
What did the news hounds at Channel 8 tell you, Susan?
Well, you know something? I was surprised. I just got a guy. I didn't, you know, get, you know, Gomez or one of those people. I just got a guy who listened to me and said, you know what, thank you very much. And so I was kind of surprised. I got no defensiveness whatsoever.
Heard and understood. We're not
yes.
going to do anything about it. Thanks
well,
for your
no,
call.
My point is that person called before, and if more of us call the stations and barrage our local, we may not be able to do anything about ABC, NBC, whatever, but our local guys, and barrage these stations with demands for real news, we might get some.
Susan, you're absolutely right, and I'm glad you brought that up, because that is something that I was trying to say. You said it more eloquently than I did. You know, call those TV stations, demand
right.
it, and you know what? You can affect what goes on at ABC, NBC, CBS. Call them too. Send
yeah.
them emails.
Yeah, I have.
Good.
I have.
Good. I mean, that's really all you can do. But I think that look, I know what it's like when these email campaigns occur. It makes a difference. These
mm-hmm.
people hear this stuff, and they read these emails, and, you know, pound them, make noise, demand that they do the right thing.
What I'd like to see, Brad, is that we all start pounding on everybody's doors and you know, use the phones and the emails, because we need to remove this ninny in the White House, this disaster in the White House. And if he really has been elected, well, selected, and then you know, got in there illegally, then, and it's out, it has to really, really get out, and there shouldn't be any reason for him to finish out his term. Okay, that's all I have to say. All right, guys.
Thank you, Susan. Well, Brad, she does have a point, and you do too, and that is that, you know, the more noise you make, the more prospect there is that people will take these issues seriously. And, of course, in terms of newsrooms, they're kind of jaundiced when people call an assignment desk or get through to a newsroom and they type you out not as a PR person, not as a news professional, but you're just a viewer or a listener. Often, they're just polite. But
yeah.
When they hear 10 of those calls,
yep.
It tips them off, well, gosh, there's something going on here that we're not really on top of.
Yeah, you know, I think people feel powerless, and the fact is they shouldn't feel powerless. They are not powerless. They can do something. And, you know, though I sort of, you know, say make noise a lot, it really does make a difference. They do hear those things, and if they get 10, 20, 50, 100 calls at these local stations saying, you know, Bobby Kennedy Jr. has just come out and said election 2004 was stolen, don't you guys think that's newsworthy? Well, you know what? They're going to take a look at it, and chances are they will cover it. So you are not powerless, but you do have to take action.
Next from Brad Blog Today, I'd like to just touch on briefly the Diebold disaster and David Baer, who is the sole national spokesperson for Diebold, declaring that these machines are not vulnerable. They just require redundant enhancement.
Yes, in a classic Orwellian doublespeak, which the Bush administration has really perfected, sounds like Diebold is on that bandwagon as well. As we know, recently it's been revealed that every single Diebold touchscreen machine in the country can have its entire set of election software, operating software, computer of BIOS, firmware, changed in about 2 minutes' time, no password necessary. It sent folks scrambling around the country, everywhere except in Utah, where this problem was actually discovered. The folks in Utah are in denial and have fired the guy who, Bruce Funk, who helped him discover it. But I have to read, if I could, really quick, just this segment. Mm-hmm. David Baer, the spokesman, this was reported by who? The Salt Lake Tribune, says the so-called security hole is really a, quote, functionality, and indeed Diebold did build this in, that allows the software to be efficiently updated. What critics call a fix, Baer prefers to call a redundant enhancement. Keep in mind, this is a quote, keep in mind, this is not a vulnerability. Elections officials are just asking for an enhancement to the existing system.
Wow.
And he goes on to say, it's only a vulnerability to those who would commit a felony tampering with an election.
Duh.
Yeah. To which one of my Brad Blog commenters, whose name I don't have here, I'm sorry I'm not giving him credit, said, yeah, like, leaving the keys in your car is only a vulnerability to someone who would steal a car.
Right.
It's incredible. He's the only guy left to talk about it, and the contortions and tortured responses he's had to give in reply to what has been revealed to be one startling vulnerability after another in these election machines. It has now become comical and really even sad.
Read the details at bradblog.com. Eugenia joins us from Prunedale. Hi, Eugenia.
Oh, hi. Everybody ought to be alerted to the fact that there's something, a flyer out called Voter Information Guide for Democrats.
All right.
It's got Dianne Feinstein's picture on the left and an eagle on the right.
Mm-hmm.
You open it up, and it starts with Angelitas. It's got a little blurb in the front under it tells who pays for it.
Yeah, who did pay for it?
Voter Information Guide, Riverside Drive, Sherman Oaks, California.
That's a slate mailer. That's what that's called in political jargon.
Oh, okay. Well, right, funny thing. See, I voted for a Republican. Darn it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And but yet they mailed this to you.
Yeah, they mailed this probably went out to just about everybody,
mm-hmm.
or all the Democrats anyway. But Democrats starting with Garamendi. I don't know what Jack O'Connell is.
He's running for a nonpartisan post, but he's a Democrat.
Oh, good. Nancy Kotowski.
Don't know that name.
She's running for superintendent of schools.
Oh, she's running against O'Connell then. Mm-hmm. Well, Eugenia, what you're looking at is called...
No, Cagliano is on it, and Kanellakis. And I didn't know that that Kanellakis was a Republican.
Republican, right. Well, see, what they're doing there is playing games, and this is called a slate mailer. These are commercial enterprises. They go out to the campaigns, and they sell slots on these slate mailers.
Mm-hmm.
And they play real hardball with you because they tell you, we're going to mail this to X number of homes statewide, or, you know, they tell you the profile. We're going to mail this misleading information to Democrats or this misleading information to Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is they basically leverage or squeeze the campaigns into paying them to participate by threatening to sell it to their opponent. And it works pretty effectively. They make a lot of money and they fool a lot of voters. Brad, your comment?
We got to get the money out of these campaigns. I mean, we have got to go to publicly funded campaigns. This is just it's just ridiculous. The privatization and the corporatization of these things is just killing this democracy.
It is. That's for sure.
All right, Eugenia, I'm out of time. I got to hit the road here, but I want to thank you for your call today. Brad, I want you to enjoy the rest of your stay in San Diego, and I hope you get some time off.
Yeah, well, if you can stop the news from happening, maybe that'll happen. Otherwise, give my best to Trigger, my friend.
Okay, it's time for me to saddle up and head on into the sunset. And, Brad, we'll talk to you next week after the election and see what kind of glitches occurred with electronic voting machines here in California.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling.
All you guys on the left, you demonize this president.
At Gitmo, they're not even garden variety POWs. They're the worst of the worst. They don't even receive the protection of the Geneva Conventions.
That I really believe that Reagan and the abortionists and the feminists and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, People for America, all of them who tried to secularize America, I point the thing in their face that you helped us have.
I totally concur. And the problem is we've adopted that agenda at the highest levels of our government. And so
I believe Saddam Hussein is a threat to the American people. And I've got good evidence to believe that.
Undeclared chemical warheads in Iraq.
The declaration that he made is proof positive.
Saddam Hussein possesses some of the world's deadliest weapons.
Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more.
The world is increasingly seeing this from the United States' point of view.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
He's not disarming.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Chris Mavridis. Depending on how you look at it, it was either a good day or a bad day on the jobs front. Ask economist David Weiss, and he'll tell you.
This data suggests that the economy is slowing down even faster than we thought.
All right, David, so why do you say that?
Overall, just not a lot of good news here for the consumer. Payrolls were up just very little. Average hourly earnings were essentially flat. The only good news is the unemployment rate dropped another one-tenth.
And there is the good news. Unemployment hasn't been this low in almost 5 years. The government says it fell to 4.6% last month. But CBS's Anthony Mason says, watch out for the trickle-down. It could be flowing your way.
The jobs numbers showed us that retailers cut about 27,000 jobs last month. That's telling us that people aren't spending as much money in stores because they're paying higher gas prices. Therefore, retailers are saying, you know, I'm not going to hire as many people. It's starting to filter through the economy.
Last March, U.S. soldiers thought they had an insurgent hideout surrounded.
They called in an AC-130 gunship, and that fired on the house. The troops on the ground kept firing on the house. When resistance ended, they went into the house and they found civilians in there, but they also found at least one insurgent.
But 11 civilians were killed. CBS's David Martin says those soldiers involved have now been cleared of any wrongdoing. The military says they used appropriate force considering the gunfire they were taking. The SWAT team in Indianapolis has sights set on a house tonight. They believe a murder suspect's hiding out inside. The one they think killed a family of seven yesterday. A Lear jet belonging to TV evangelist Pat Robertson has gone down in heavy fog near New York City. It crashed in Long Island Sound. Two dead, three are hurt. Robertson was not on the plane. Looking to get into a new car, maybe a Nissan? If you're looking at the 2006 Altima or Sentra SER, you're going to be out of luck. CBS's Lou Miliano says Nissan has ordered dealers to stop selling all four-cylinder models because of problems and potential engine trouble.
Nissan's not ordered a recall of the vehicles, just to stop selling them ordered to the dealerships, though it's expected a recall can't be far off. Essentially, the problem's rapid oil consumption. Left unattended, that could lead to internal damage, or worse yet, an engine fire.
Hey, you, with the drawstring pants, you heading to your favorite restaurant tonight? So many Americans are getting fat, or fatter. The Food and Drug Administration